I was downloading all the hit music just for myself, and then just top 40. And I had a computer printout of all the songs I had. And I would go around. I was known as like a CD burner guy at school. So if you wanted a CD, I go, you can check seven, make a playlist, 17 songs, 15 or 17 songs from this list, and I'll make it for you.
What?
And I charged like...
How much?
If it was a customized... Because I had one with like top 40 or whatever where I could just give it to you and it was $5. But if you wanted to customize, like make your own CD, then that was more money. That was like $7 or $10 if you wanted to choose the songs.
Stick-to-itiveness, ladies and gentlemen. Stick-to-itiveness. That's the word of the day. Could possibly be a made-up word. Stick-to-itiveness. That's what separates these Americans from other people. Actually, that's not true. I think Americans give up quite easily. That's what separates me from... Yeah, that's it. That's what separates me from Tom Segura and Bert Kreischer. Stick-to-itiveness. I didn't claim sickness. I didn't claim foot injury. I stuck with the workout program, and I was a non-asterisk winner of Sober October. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about stick-to-itiveness, that when you're in fucking Reykjavik, Iceland, as I am right now, and you lose your water bottle, you look around your hotel room, and you don't see it, and you realize, oh, fuck. I last had it. I was out in the streets. I remember dropping it. I remember picking it up. So I had it then. But where is it now? I went to a few gift stores. I got my fucking fridge magnet that I get from every other country I've been to. I had to make up for Iceland. It's my second time here, but I had to make up for it. I didn't get the fridge magnet before. Unless I did. And then I'll have a double. Maybe I'll just give it to my girlfriend. I don't know. But I don't think I have one. Anyway. I went back in the streets. Sure, it's a hill street. It's probably going to roll away. And if it didn't, somebody's probably going to chuck it, you know? This is Reykjavik. People take pride in their goddamn town. The Rake. I'm back here hanging out with Ari Eldron. Oh, we had such a fun trip today. Just road tripping it. Goddamn beautiful country. So I went back to the first gift shop, looked in the window, couldn't see it. It's all closed now. It's 11:30 at night. Sure. It's 11:30 at night. I went to the public house, ran into some fan, which was cool. It's cool having fans in goddamn Reykjavik, Iceland. Power of the internet. I moved on. I kept going. I think there's one last gift shop I went into. And I went, looked in the window, looked down to where the t-shirts were. Look down, like on the floor near the fridge thing, near the fridge magnet, you know, twirly thing. Couldn't find it. All right, fuck it. Maybe stick-to-itiveness doesn't work out. Maybe it doesn't. Or maybe your boy Ari looked behind the counter and guess what he saw? His thermos with a note on it, the sticker that he put on there of the baby seal, the cute baby seal, pre-clubbing. That's right, you guys. I found it. And tomorrow, I'm going to go down and claim what's rightfully mine. Dude, I feel like a Viking in this country. It's hard not to. Until you actually look at one of the Icelanders and you realize they look like Vikings. Dude, I've had a good time here. I went to fucking... Oh, this fucking great... I wish this place was so good. Sintodlin. Oh, they have all these pools. These outdoor pools, hot tubs everywhere. It's like a fucking part of the culture here in Iceland. Outdoor pooling. It's so cool. You just go from hot tub to hot tub. 39 degrees, 42 degrees. All centigrade, you guys. We don't do Fahrenheit here. All centigrade, like grown-ups. Look, America's... We're right about a lot of stuff. And we're wrong about some things. When the rest of the world does something... Even if we're wrong, we should probably just join the rest of the world. But for the fucking metric system, we're wrong. I mean, if they were using the fucking stupid shit we use and we were using the metric system, I would say, you know, maybe just shift over to their dumb way of doing it. But the metric system is so much easier. Times 10, times 10, times 10. Not times 12, times 3. Anyway, whatever. Oh, what was I talking about? Oh, centigrade. 100 is boiling. 0 is freezing. 25 is a nice day. Guys, it doesn't get much easier. 29, 84. I went to these pools. Didn't go on an outdoor natural like fissure spring this time. I did last time. I still got the scar on the back of my hand to prove it. But man, this country's goddamn beautiful. We just took a trip to I forget how to say his name in Icelandic. Ari Eljarn. He's been on this podcast before. But I think the one called The Rake. But we just took a drive down the south. We went to this, he calls it Chinese takeaway beach, where they have these sneaker waves. These waves come up. It's not like every seventh one. It's every just random. A giant wave will come up. And it's this beautiful black beach. It's this beautiful black beach. And then this wave comes and it goes like 40 feet past the last wave. And I guess it just washes away tourists. Especially tourists who are busy looking at their phones or iPads taking pictures. And it just knocks them down and the undercurrent fucking pulls you out. It's frigid water and you're gone. There's no getting you. There's no going in and after you. There's no lifeguard. And there's no helicopters in the air at all times. It's gorgeous, by the way. It's fucking gorgeous. These giant cliffs going up, black beach, and this beautiful kind of surf that comes in. And you know how Chinese are. They're the worst tourists in the world. I'll stand by it. They're the worst ones. I don't care if there's backlash. They're the worst ones. If you don't agree with me, it's because you haven't been traveling. You haven't been in hostels. You haven't been in hotels. You just haven't been out in the world. They're garbage. They come in. You're watching a sunset. Oh, first of all, don't take a picture for sunset. Don't ever take a picture for sunset. You're not going to capture it. You're just not going to capture it. It's a fleeting moment that you're missing. Because you're going to take a picture and then you're going to look down at it. Oh, did I get it right? Let me take another one. But definitely don't take a picture of sunset in front of me using an iPad. Fucking Chinese tourists, man. They're garbage. Anyway, at Takeaway Beach, they get their comeuppance. They're looking at their goddamn iPads. Wash away, Takeout Beach. What a good name by Ari Eljarn. Anyway, we did that. We went to this waterfall where you could walk behind it. I don't even know what it's called. It's just this country is fucking beautiful. If you guys get a chance, come to Reykjavik and then just travel around Iceland. You can either do the hostel thing, or if you're here with friends, get a car. Do the ring road. Take a fucking, what we did last time, we took a plane to the north. It's a 6-hour drive, I guess. It's a 45-minute flight to the north. And we got a car and went to this place that looked like Mars. I mean, you can look, listen to, and went to Geyser. We went to where the parliament was, the original parliament, where the sagas were told. Was that all in the north? And this one, I mean, listen to that podcast, The Rake. I forget what number it is. Anyway, I'm here in Iceland, you guys. I'm having a great time, and I'm about to start my European tour, starting tomorrow, Friday, at Harpa, at the Opera House where I played last time. Fucking gorgeous. I wanted to see Northern Lights, but it didn't happen. Maybe in Norway, although I bet by then the moon will be full. Maybe it'll be a late rising moon. Anyway, so this is the beginning. This is the beginning of my European tour. I'm going to announce the dates one more time. Iceland, the 16th. The European tour of Ari Shaffir Jew. That's what I'm presenting almost every time. Let's say I do a storytelling show or some sort of compilation show. It's always going to be Ari Shaffir Jew. Okay, I'm going to do dates really quick because I fucked this up. It went way too long. I re-edited. I cut in right here because I fucking took way too long. Listen, I'm starting my European tour right now. So I'll just tell you the dates. Iceland today, tomorrow at Harpa Nordi, Nordl. November 16th. I'm not going to do all the fucking places, but go to AriTheGreat.com, get tickets. Brighton on the 19th, I believe, is sold out. Leicester Square Theatre on the 21st and 22nd in London, both of those very sold out. You can't get tickets. Manchester on the 23rd, I think that's sold out. If it's not, there's like 5-10 tickets left. Dublin, the first show is for sure sold out on the 25th. We added an early show at 5:30 since it's Sunday, and it might be sold out by now. I honestly, get on tickets right now. There's not going to be any extra. Brussels, the 26th. Amsterdam, the 27th. Stockholm, the 29th. Stavanger, Norway. Maybe I can see the Northern Lights there. Hopefully I can see. I wonder what Stavanger is, probably pretty north. Maybe that's the place to see it. I tried. It just wasn't out. It was at a 2 out of 10, out of 9 on the chart today. Berlin, December 2nd. I might be most excited about that. Then Hanukkah starts the 3rd. So that's why we take that off. I'm just joking. Copenhagen, December 4th. Oslo, December 5th. And then Zurich, International Comedy Club, December 9th. Guys, Israel's being finalized right now. I have the dates. The 15th of December is a storytelling show in Tel Aviv. If you are a comedian in Israel and you have a story about the Israeli army, a funny story about the Israeli army, please write me. Contact at arishafir.com. Reach out. I'm looking for people to fill that show. Should be fun. Should be interesting. Might just be Israeli stories. That seems kind of broad. For Israelis, not for like Americans with Israeli stories or Israel stories. If it was just Israel stories, I do have a bunch. But I don't know. I need English speakers, by the way. That's the 15th after Shabbos, Motzi Shabbos. Wait, does Motzi mean after or Shabbos Eve? Forget now. Motzi Shabbos. I think it means after Shabbos. Good vuch. And then the 18th in Jerusalem, Yerushalayim. At stand up on the spot. That's a different place. Off the Wall Comedy Club or Off the Wall Comedy. Guys, if you're too from, and don't worry if you don't know what that word means, then it doesn't apply to you. If you're too from and you can't fucking deal with me cursing, or your friends can't deal with cursing, don't bring them. But if they're frontier Jews, if they're kind of the adventurous Haredis who can listen to stuff and not let it into their psyche, not let it into their world, but hear awful things being said, then definitely bring them. I want some Chabadniks. I want some fucking religious people in Yerushalayim hearing this hour. Ari Shafir Jew. Okay. Then I don't know what I'm going to do. I might go to Egypt for a week, hang out in Egypt. Luxor. I heard Luxor is pretty fucking great. Obviously, I got to go to Cairo for at least a day, but Luxor, why does that draw me more? And then some quick ones in America, just to finish out the year and a little bit early. I'm adding Oakland. December 30th, the new parish. Tickets are not on sale yet. They'll be on sale very soon, so check back. Maybe probably this week. Oh, definitely this week. Today's Friday. Definitely by next week. Listen, that show is going to be almost identical to the San Francisco show. So if you came to the San Francisco show, not only don't expect anything new, unless you really just want to see that same show again, probably don't come. It's going to be almost identical to that San Francisco show. I mean, really, really almost identical. I'm doing Oakland because I've wanted to play Oakland for a while. The last time I played where it was on the Monsters of Comedy Tour. And it's been fucking 8, 9, 10 years. So, 8 or 9 years, really, for real. So that's why I'm doing it. It's not the biggest place in the world, but if you didn't come to the San Francisco show, do that the day before New Year's Eve. Then further in NorCal, Sacramento, January 3rd, 4th, 5th. And then I've got DC. I've got a storytelling show at 6th and I. Washington, DC, January 15th. Definitely coming up. Me and 4, maybe 5 comics, all probably from New York, nowhere else, are going to be going down there doing an Ari Shafir's Renamed Storytelling Show. Get tickets for that. They're already on sale. Denver, the Comedy Works, where I recorded my first album. January 24th through 27th, Mike Vecchione is opening for me. Get fucking tickets. Wise Guys, February 1st and 2nd in Salt Lake City. That's a storytelling show with Bert Renazisi, Ryan O'Neill, still getting more people. San Diego, February 15th, 16th, 17th. The Comedy Store Main Room, February 19th. Phoenix and Tempe, March 7th, 8th, 9th. Miami and West Palm, March 14th, 15th, 16th. All right, you guys, let's start the episode. But here's the deal. Here's what the episode's all about. It's about stealing. Me and Fahim Anwar, we love stealing online. I mean, I actually steal, which would actually be a good topic for another podcast, shoplifting. I'm a huge fan of it. But this is online pirating. I've always been a proponent. I've never been against it. People call me a fucking hypocrite for saying I'm for it and then saying I'm angry and people torrented my specials. I've never been angry when anyone's torrented anything of mine. You're absolutely wrong. It's like those people saying like, oh, the Jews can make fun of people, but as soon as you make fun of them, it's like too far. It's like, no, the Jews just take it. We're known for just taking it. You're just making up a detail. Do you remember the Holocaust? What fighting back did we do outside of the fucking Polish ghetto? Anyway, yeah, I'm a huge fan of stealing. I got into it in the early days. I was in college, the University of Maryland. Fahim was a grade school, maybe high schooler. I think grade schooler. I took 2 years off, maybe early high school. But we both got way into stealing stuff. And guys, I'm not against it, even now. Until the industry, well, we get into it in this episode, developed a better way to do it, then why would you not steal until you make it accessible? So it's not like I had the money for any of these things. I didn't. So it was either stealing them or fucking never listening to them. I'm not justifying. Who cares? I don't care if it's stealing. It's a big business. I steal from big businesses all the time, like physically stealing. And that's something they actually lose. They don't lose anything when I take the new fucking Megadeth album. Why would that have been my example? I don't listen to them. I don't even know if they're still active as a band. Anyway, we talked about it. Fahim, now here's what you should know. Fahim has a new special, a sketch special called Goat Face. About 7-8 years ago, maybe longer, maybe 9 years ago, 10 years ago, Fahim, along with Hassan Minhaj, how do you say it? I believe it's Hassan, but everyone else says Hassan. Asif Ali and Aristotle Arthurs, I don't know, Greek Ari. They had this sketch group called Goat Face, and they were fucking funny. They were funny. And they made film sketches that they put up on YouTube. You can find them now. And so now with Hassan's success, I guess, for whatever reason, but justifiably, regardless, Comedy Central's doing a sketch special with them. It is on November 27th. At 11 p.m. Eastern and Western. Unless you have Cox, then I think it's 8 p.m. East Western. Goatface. Set your DVRs, if you still have them, for Comedy Central, November 27th, 11 p.m. Goatface. Set it for a couple minutes longer because you don't want it to cut off. They made great sketches. Go on YouTube and find some. I'll post a Goatface or two sketch. They're all original, by the way, they're doing now. But I'll post a couple on the website, arithegreat.com, where, by the way, I always have music choices. Don't ask me. I'm not responding to you. Also, Fahim has his CISO special that is now up for streaming on cc.com. I can't get it because it is, what? Iceland. CC.com. And then it is, you have to look for... What is it? Do a search for Fahim. I'll put a link to it. No, there's no business like show business. No business. Let's see what that does. My special, by the way, is also up there, but it's behind the paywall. This is way too long. cc.com/episodes/IZL60/Fahim-Anwar. Fucking come on, guys. Just make it cc.com/Fahim Anwar. My special's up there. My paid regular special's up there, but it's behind the firewall. So you got to. But if you are a fucking cable subscriber, which I know almost nobody is anymore, then you can find my special paid regular. It's up there as well. But Fahim's is in front of the firewall, at least right now. So go on there, cc.com, and then do a search for Fahim, F-A-H-I-M. and go look at his shit, man. He's so funny. He's a funny, funny guy. I mean, so physical and just like kills and original too. If you ever get a chance to see Fahim, fucking do it. Oh, but you have a chance right now. You can go to cc.com and look at his special. There's no business like show business. Uncensored. Wow. Or Goatface, November 27th, 11 p.m. Check it out. So ladies and gentlemen, let's start this episode. Let's start this episode. Let's talk about something I really care about, which is fucking pirating. That's what I'm into, you guys. And I'm in Iceland now, so it's from Vikings to Pirates. Damn it, that should have been the name of the episode. Why, I already put out a call for a Photoshop. From Vikings to Pirates. It should have been, for sure been that. But that's not what it's called. What it's called is Ari Shaffir Skeptic Tank, episode 342. Yo-ho, yo-ho, bottle of rum. What, how does it go? A pirate's life for me. That's what it's called. Episode 342, A Pirate's Life for Me, with Fahim Anwar. Guys, set your DVRs. Watch this thing. Starts now.
Yo-ho, yo-ho, a pirate's life for me. We pillage, we plunder, we rattle and loot. Bring up me hotties, yo-ho. We kidnap and ravage and don't give a hoot. Bring up me hotties, yo-ho. Yo-ho, yo-ho, a pirate's life for me. We extort, we plunder, we pillage and sack. Bring up me hotties, yo-ho. Marauding and dazzle and even hijack. Bring up me hotties, yo-ho.
Fuck all of them. I did a bad intro. I introed for what I thought was going to be Carl Donnelly's episode this week. So maybe I'll pull that off. I don't know what I did. But anyway, none of this concerns you. What's up, right, Fahim?
What's up?
Goatface premieres next week.
Yeah, man.
What day?
November 27th. It's a Tuesday.
It's a Tuesday.
Tuesday after Thanksgiving.
What time?
Fuck.
You know what time it's on?
I should know this. 8 or 10. I don't know.
That's a humongous difference.
Yeah, I know. I'm bad, dude.
Look it up. Okay, well, we found it.
All right.
Nice spin. 10 p.m. This Tuesday. No, a week from, pretty much a week from today. So Tuesday the 27th.
Yeah.
10 p.m. Goatface, your sketch show.
Well, it's a one-hour sketch special.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
So it's really cool that we got to do it because we were doing YouTube stuff way back in the day.
Way back.
Way back, man. You know, I've wanted to do a sketch show for so long. Like, this is the type of show I've wanted to do forever. But, you know, when I came to LA, the climate wasn't what it is now.
Into what do you mean? Into sketch or into...
Just, yeah, sketch show, man. Like, I love stand-up and I love sketch.
Yeah.
And stand-up I've been doing forever. And sketch is this gear. There was a time when YouTube sketch made sense mm-hmm. and things would go viral. But things have become more bite-sized, like Instagram, like Vine came out, then Instagram, and you just started seeing less of a return on your investment.
Only so Key and Peele really got it going.
Well, what I found is that there was a time when kind of like homegrown sketch on YouTube would do well.
Yeah.
But then people would only accept long-form sketch if it was on SNL or Key and Peele. Like it had to make TV to make the internet the next day, and then people would share it. But very rarely were people sharing just people who made YouTube sketch anymore. Like it stopped happening.
Wow.
Things became more bite-sized.
Like, of like Nick Thune type stuff where they would make like MySpace.
Oh, back in the
YouTube.
Day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or like Barrettes and Beretta used to do things. Mm-hmm. And then.
Who was the one Don Glover was in?
Derek Comedy. They mm-hmm. would do sketches like Good Neighbor. I love Good Neighbor,
yeah,
man.
Weird.
You know, two of them are on SNL now. I guess
really?
Dave too. He's the film. They're like, their director, and then Nick Rutherford was a writer on SNL for a while because they were supposed to be the heir apparent to Lonely Island.
Yeah, Rutherford and his gang.
Yeah, the trouble is, it's like, it's frustrating for me as a Good Neighbor fan just because of the stuff they made was so good and nuanced, but I think it's just so specific and nuanced and kind of weird that it could find its audience on YouTube, whereas SNL has to be everything to everybody. You know what
right.
I mean? So they can't, it's like taking the teeth out of the tiger.
Right, because then you're taking into account the audience instead of like, no, this is what
well,
we want. Because
it might be too offbeat
yeah.
for the average SNL viewer because moms are watching, high school kids are watching. You have to be broad enough for everybody. You know,
yeah.
it's just a tall order to be everything for everybody.
What do you
think of SNL
now?
I think it just like castrated Good Neighbor.
Oh, really?
And it was just frustrating as a fan.
Damn. So they were really good.
Look at their YouTube stuff, man. Like, type in Good Neighbor,
yeah,
and just watch some of their old YouTube sketches. It's brilliant shit.
Like, what's one of the better ones?
Like, just one of them is like, your mom's a MILF. Okay. And it's, some of these are so easy, and it's just the execution. Like, Beck is such a good actor. Nick Rutherford, such a good actor. Kyle Mooney is such a great actor, like his character work.
Oh, Kyle Mooney was in that. He was with
them. Kyle Mooney and Beck from SNL. Oh, I just came here to promote Good Neighbor, man. Fuck my sketch group. I'm just here to tell you.
So you were doing the stuff around the same time,
around
too.
Around the same time. Maybe a little after. Yeah.
Hassan
Minhaj from The Daily Show was also doing Patriot Act now. And then Asif Ali. Oh, so we were doing YouTube sketch, and...
What does Asif do now?
Everything. He just books everything in the world. He's in every commercial. He's on Wrecked. I think he's been on 2 seasons of Wrecked. He's just a booking machine.
What is Wrecked? When you get on an island and they
It's like that funny Lost show on TBS.
By the way, I was joke guessing that as my guess.
Yeah,
but
you just nail it.
Yeah, now I'm remembering that show. Okay. Oh, that's cool.
But so, like, I was doing a sketch on my own back on YouTube, and then I'm just always, because when I moved to LA, it was hard to get on stage because I started staying up in Seattle and I'd been doing it 4 years out there. But when you move to a market like LA or New York, it's just so saturated.
Yeah.
And you might be a funny person, but
who cares?
Yeah. It's like you're a runt trying to get to the teat. There's just not enough. No one, you're a ghost. I'd hang out at the Improv. People are walking through me. You just don't exist.
Dude, LA especially, if you can't do anything for them, they don't see
for sure.
You.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I was just backlogged creatively. I had no outlet. And then MySpace videos was kind of taken off, and these like sketch groups and stuff. And some of the videos that would take off, I'd be like, this isn't that great. I think I could do this. So it gave me the confidence to start doing like sketch. I used to do sketch back in high school and stuff and middle school. So I had that gear. So I just started doing sketch and putting it on YouTube. And then I met Aristotle later, and he's a great director and a comedian as well. And so we started... He added the gloss to my ideas.
He added what? Gloss.
Like gloss. Like, yeah. I was always like the writer, like the brains, and he was the eyes.
Yeah, I always liked when those guys like Moneypenny and Bush, mm-hmm. they were in some sketch group too, like YouTube type stuff. And then the film stuff, and it's like...
Just the cinema. When you add that cinematic layer, that's what made Key and Peele so great, is this like genre parody. When you can match stylistically and inject the humor.
The movie that you're trying to like fuck.
Yeah, or like the Crystal Light Dance crew, just when it matches soap, or like the Flicker. When you add these beats that you're familiar with from watching so much cinema, it just adds a layer to the sketch.
Do you guys do any stage sketch or not even?
No, we never really did that. We did one live show back in the day.
That seems done.
I just feel like you could do more in the editing bay and just, you have more control over what the finished product is and your idea with cuts and music and transitions and all that. But we were trying, so I started doing sketch. I teamed up with Aristotle. We put some stuff out. Some went viral. And then it just seemed like we weren't going anywhere.
Yeah.
And we go, let's add Hassan and Asif because we knew them through stand-up, through the LA scene.
And Aristotle?
Yeah, it was me and Aristotle putting stuff out for a while.
Were you calling it Goatface?
No.
Okay.
It was under my Slezdog account, my Slezdog 2000 YouTube account. I just made that a long time ago, but that's where I would upload my videos, you know?
Okay.
I think Domino's is the first video that me and him did together, and it's gorgeous. And that was the first time I was like, oh, fuck. I need to do... This is a great team. It's like when you find the perfect bandmate. But then we kind of had some went viral, some didn't, and we go, let's add Asif and let's add Hassan so that we have a brown angle. Now it's 4 brown dudes, and there's a hook. Whereas before, my parents are from Afghanistan. Aristotle's half Greek, half Iranian. That's not really anything, you know?
Yeah.
There's no angle. But if it's 4 brown dudes, you go, okay, that's unique. And I thought...
But that really wasn't what your sketches were about, were they?
No, but people are dumb. Like in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Like, look, back in the day, I would love if someone just gave me my own sketch show and I could be as absurd as I want to be. But... Yeah. That's something that happens to white people, you know, like,
well, you don't have to make it an angle.
Well, you don't have to make it an angle. It's packaging and shit, you know?
That's the thing. I feel bad for black comics more than anything, you know, people like it's harder for them to get a job. I'm like, it might be easier. But like one thing is like, they always get made to be delivering a black sketch show instead of just a sketch show.
Yeah.
Key and Peele finally got to do it.
Yeah, but after doing Mad, it's like you have to pay your dues. Yeah,
TV, both sketch names. But until then, it was like, even like Larry Wilmore was like the nightly news. It's like, why are you making everything? Why
and
can't
so here,
do
here's
fucking-
what's so frustrating. So And look, I'm glad that I teamed up with these guys. Aristotle's such a great filmmaker, and it's elevated the sketches that I have in my mind. I wouldn't be able to pull this off without him. And Asif and Hassan bring...
He's pretty much white, though, Aristotle. You're really joining in on that
line. But I just kind of felt with this angle, we'd be able... It would be a slam dunk because I just felt like brown people are such a part of the conversation. You know, Middle Eastern, South Asian people have been here in America for a while. It's in the news cycle all the time. There's no comedic release valve. We're just a punching bag for everybody. There's no, you know, like...
There's no good example.
Blacks had Chappelle's Show and then Living Color. You know, whites have other sketch shows. Like, brown people don't have anything. We just get hit all the time.
Yeah.
And I just think there's never been anything that speaks to the brown experience in America. And I just feel like there's a lot of people out there like me, you know, who...
Regular dudes.
Yeah, their parents are from, you know, Pakistan or Afghanistan or, you know, the Middle East or South Asia. But they were born here in America, so they have very American sensibilities. But you kind of walk that line. There's never been someone that they can see on TV that speaks to that experience.
Yeah, you're pretty much a normal dude who's into cool music. Like, you like classics and you like bands like that. Yeah. But then you also have weird hang-ups with dating because you have this fucking weird, like, Muslim or whatever.
Yeah, I just think there's this huge bubble that hasn't been catered to or addressed at all. The Afghan American or the Indian American.
Is there pressure on you guys to do sketches about that, exactly that?
Well, here's the thing. Like, we would take these, we would go into these meetings.
Yeah.
And it was just clear as day to me that this is a viable thing. But I think it was just too early in the game. Things hadn't transpired that would make it a viable option like it is now. But we would take these meetings and they'd be like, because there's no blueprint in Hollywood. A lot of these suits, all they know is what's come before, and if it hasn't, they lack imagination. Most lack imagination. Like, if there isn't dollar signs that they've seen in the past, why would I greenlight this? People want to keep
creative.
Their jobs. They don't want to take risks.
If you have an utter failure and a success, they view that as a failure. Whereas you would be like, no, it's great. We got rid of the one failure, and now we're just in success mode.
Because nobody wants to be the guy who does the first thing. Like, I want to green light this first thing, and then it doesn't do well, then he's fucked.
Yeah.
Whereas if you do something that's been done a million times and it does well, or if it doesn't do well, you could be like, look, it did well all these other times.
That whole style of, like, we talk straight to the camera for stuff. It had to be the British office did it first, then the American office copied it, and now Modern Family can do it.
Right. There's a precedent, so no one's getting fired if it doesn't pan out.
Right. Yeah.
So we'd be in these meetings and they just couldn't wrap their head around why it's four brown guys. They'd be like, wait, so we got to, why are you guys brown? Or we got to explain it to the people. And in my mind, I'm like, you don't tell that to four white, like a sketch group of four white guys. That's just accepted.
Yeah.
You know? So it was just really frustrating that nobody could see it back then. And we had been doing it for 2 years and then we got busy. You know, Hassan got Daily Show, Asif booked some things. I got busy with stand-up and some acting things here and there. Aristotle directing some commercials. And we kind of thought it was done, you know? And then Hassan did his Homecoming King on Netflix. And then Comedy Central, I think they wanted to do another project. He was like, do you have anything that you want to do? And he goes, well, my sketch group, Goatface. And so I tuned it out. I didn't even think that it was... I thought that ship had sailed, and I was walking to the Comedy Store one day, and then his manager, I bump into her, and she's like, oh, they want to do a Goatface show. I go, what?
Whoa.
Just out of the blue. That's what's crazy about Hollywood. Sometimes you'll push, and you'll push, and you'll push this thing, and it doesn't pan out. And then other times, the biggest things in your career just fall in your lap, and you don't even expect it.
It's so weird. You were done with it.
Well, I just thought Hassan was so busy, and we all kind of went our separate ways, and, you know, we just got kind of nos the first time around.
Once you get a bunch of nos, too, it's tough to keep, like, I'm pushing forward.
No, I mean,
that's why I think it's crazy, those guys like The Room and people like that, where it's like, oh, you got told no a bunch, and they didn't think maybe weren't worthy?
It's kind of inspiring, though, too.
Mm-hmm. Just like, no, I know what I got.
Like, even like Barry, I like on HBO, just hearing how hard of a time they had getting that off.
Did you hear Charlie Kaufman or whatever Kaufman read all the rejection letters for in being John Malkovich?
No.
Oh, he read like from head studios at his Independent Spirit Awards.
Wow, that's the thing.
Like, you're not just not making this movie. You're a crazy person. You need to stop writing, move away from Hollywood.
It's so much easier to say no to somebody than it is to say yes. And it's really inspiring to hear that these artists you admire, no one has been told yes their whole life.
Right, like, anybody
anybody you respect has been told a fucking million times. Like Bill Burr, too. It's just great just because he's one of my favorites and where he's at in his career. And he's not a guy that they just gave everything to. He just slogged through it.
It's great now to be on a phone call with him and have him just go like, no, stop it. We're not doing that. Like, hell yes. That's a guy's been, I don't care about you is what is the backstory to that.
Yeah.
I want to do something cool. You want to do it cool or we're just not going to do it.
And that's the thing too. The longer you do this and you've been in the stand-up game, you build equity and you have leverage just by being in the game long enough.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Well, I would get just when I started headlining, you know, and I would get an occasional offer, like too late, uh-huh. from clubs like that place in Seattle. What was it called?
Parlor?
No, the great one.
What's the great one?
It was the coolest room, moved.
Underground?
Underground, yeah.
Coming underground?
Yeah. And by the time they were like, we'd like you to do it, I was like, sure, can you go through my agent? And he goes, thanks anyway. Like, he's like, I already know we don't deal with
it. Oh, I know. Yeah, John Fox?
Yeah. I was like, well, I'm not saying no, I'm saying yes.
Yeah,
just tell my agent.
Like doing that.
But like other clubs, I remember one in Scottsdale was like, we'll pay $800 for the week. And I'm like, oh, I make more than that. I make $1,500.
Yeah.
So I didn't always make it, but that's what I made when I. And he goes, you're pricing yourself out, man. And I was like, oh, dude, get a local. You're looking for a local.
Yeah. What's it to you?
You're not looking for someone to come there. I make $200 in the end.
Yeah, the best is when you get offered something that's way below. I don't need this at all.
The leverage level was like, oh, I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
It's not like I'm hoping for more. There's full leverage because I have no interest in this.
Yeah.
If you came up to $3,000.
It's garbage money and I don't want to do it.
Yeah. It's like the negotiation is quite easy.
Yeah.
So you guys got Goatface, and now this fucking sketch show is on.
So I guess we just had to wait for Hassan's profile to raise on Daily Show, and then also Trump to get elected, and kind of the climate to become a little more what it is.
Uh-huh.
And then now it became kind of obvious that this is a show worth having.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm head writer on it.
Head writer.
I'm in it, too. My buddies are in it. So it's like we're doing YouTube, but on a large scale. It's crazy. It's a mindfuck, man.
Are they going to put all them up on YouTube?
I hope they chop. I don't know if they'll put all of them up, but like.
What about the stuff that didn't make it?
It all made it. We don't have anything that didn't make it.
One full hour?
Yeah. All gems, baby. No cutting room floor. We're batting 1,000.
Really? 44 minutes?
Yeah.
You don't have an hour long version? So how many sketches is it?
Like 8 or 10.
Wow.
And then there's like a little bit of stand up because we all do stand up too. Yeah. I think that's what's unique about us as a group. And it was frustrating early on in Hollywood because I grew up on sketch. Like, SNL is why I got into stand-up, you know? Like, I saw that was a path to get on SNL. So I'm just a stand-up and sketch guy, and... Yeah, what the fuck was I going with this?
What do you think of SNL now?
The thing is, people always say their favorite iteration of SNL is whenever they were in high school.
Yeah.
Because you're at home, you're watching with your family, and...
Yeah. You're just discovering that type of comedy.
Yeah. Oh, what I meant to say with the... us being stand-ups and doing sketch too. It was kind of annoying because I always viewed myself as a sketch guy, but if you didn't come from UCB or Groundlings Second City, people don't take you seriously. It's like political, you know?
So weird.
So no one would really kind of trust that I had this sketch pedigree because I'm a stand-up.
Right.
But I think, I don't know, you can't just judge.
Whenever like Aaron Cater's like, you should do Groundlings. It's like, yeah, okay. And they're like, gotta start level one. I'm like, that's ridiculous. I've been doing comedy 7 years. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to do something just for politics. I like leaning into my strengths.
Yeah, I was like, start me on level 4. Not the best, but like close to it.
Yeah.
I have experience with comedy.
And not everything is textbook. I don't want to learn your formula to do generic sketch.
Which, by the way, is just to fucking enter into a
like, let's heighten
where you give them
and
money.
Then turn. And some people, like songs just come to them. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's organic and it's magical. That's how it is with stand-up and sketch for me. So I don't want to learn some formula to become rote.
Yeah.
And just cookie cutter sketch. I understand if you need to cultivate that, but like I just have that from being exposed to it and loving it as a kid.
Yeah, that's cool. All right. Well, then if they don't put it up on YouTube.
I think they will chop up some of them and they will be on YouTube. I think we're trying to promote a few of them, so maybe one or two might release before the show actually comes out.
Okay, I'll put them up on the website.
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah. Now. So I'm going to have like my friends kind of retweet it, get Dalia to, like you, maybe, I wonder if Burr would do it, but...
Burr would do it.
Yeah, just...
That's cool.
So we'll see. We'll see what happens. Hopefully this gets the writing thing going, you know, and...
If they don't put it up on YouTube, a great way to get those...
Just pirate it.
Is pirate it.
Yeah.
Segueing into the topic.
How great.
Okay, so we're both fucking pirates, I guess?
I guess so.
What would you call us?
Less so now. In my youth, I was a bigger pirate.
When did you start? What era were you starting?
Oh, what was my first pirate? Maybe Napster era?
Napster.
What came out first, Napster or CD burners?
CD burners came up first.
All right.
Napster really made them valuable, CD burners.
So then maybe...
I'm not
burning
sure if that's true, actually.
It was around the same time, but they kind of go hand in hand. So Napster and CD burners was kind of my slingshot into the open seas.
Download shit, put on a tape, I'm in a CD, get it out of there.
All right, I'll tell you two iterations or two stories. So like I would burn music CDs, you know. I think one time I figured out this game. I would buy a CD from like Target or somewhere. And then they have the seal, you know? As long as you don't break the seal, you can return it. So I learned how to open up like one edge, just like the pointy edge of the CD, and I'd take a butter knife and I'd slip it in, and I'd pop the CD out, and then I'd burn it, put it back in,
wow.
Return the CD.
Damn.
And now I just have Snoop Dogg's The Game Is To Be Sold, Not To Be Told.
That's so great.
The CD is meant to be burned, not to be bought. That's my version.
Wow, that's a tough pirate.
Yeah, that's like boots on the ground piracy.
Yeah, so you're not waiting to have it on Napster after it come out?
I mean, maybe it evolved into that, but then Napster came. Yeah, I would just do CD to CD. Like, hey, let me borrow that. Can I burn it?
Yeah.
And then I was one of the first, because we're kids, you know, and a lot of kids aren't into technology, or most like middle school kids aren't into like CD burners and shit.
Mm-hmm.
But I've just always had an affinity to like tech.
I lived with tech guys on college campus. Like a lot of them worked in the fucking, in the tech building, whatever, as their jobs. And then like, so we all had burners at our disposal because of our dorm had it all.
Yeah. I would just read all the Sunday ads, like all the computer section and what was going on. I just love that stuff.
Okay.
And then like CD burners were coming out and they're pretty pricey. They were like for a kid, you know, they're like $600 or like $400 bucks.
Yeah.
Just above my pay grade. So I'm just kind of waiting for the price to go down. And I think it came down to around $400 and it's still too much for me. So I had a proposition for my brother. My brother is like 3.5 years older than me. So I go to him and it's like I'm doing a Shark Tank presentation for the CD burner.
Okay, I'm offering you.
Yeah.
17 so CDs
like,
a week.
Okay, you're familiar with CD burners. This is a technology, blah, blah, blah. You can burn CDs and I just need some financing. So we went halfsies on a CD burner. I think it was a 4-speed. You can get different...
4X.
4X.
That means if you had an hour-long CD...
It would do it in a fourth of the time.
It would do it in 15 minutes. You could burn it.
Yeah. Yeah.
From pull-off to put-on to burn?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. But here's the trouble, though. Sometimes there would be 8-speed burners. Like, they kept on getting more and more, like, faster.
Yeah.
The trouble is, I think at one point, like, they would have an 8-speed one, and if you burned it at that speed, there would be skips.
There'd be skips.
It wouldn't be the best quality.
I remember that.
So you had to slow it down to let
sometimes
the turkey
you're like,
marinate.
At the time, I'm going 1-to-1 on this.
Yeah, like two was fine. 2 or 4 you could handle, but 8 was just, you get skips. So.
You burn skips into it. That's the thing. It wouldn't be a scratch.
Yeah, you could tell it's a copy.
Yeah.
In fact, there'd be little hiccups.
Some of the Napster songs. So I got.
Oh, they had them?
What?
They had like little hiccups and stuff?
They had the skips in them. Because whoever uploaded it was uploaded from a burn.
But then you'd also look at the bit rate, too. I would always do 128 or higher. Anything lower, it's discernible for the ear.
Yeah, you're fucked.
Like sometimes you download a song and it's 96 kbps.
I can handle a 96
it's like a telephone.
On a live recording, like Nirvana playing this cover song at this place. You're that's all
you could live with it. If it's like a live, rare recording, you go, I'll live with a shitty
96,
bit rate.
128, I forgot about
128's
that.
The cutoff. 192 is that's
it's
gold,
great.
Gold. And then 320 started happening, but this is dial-up modem. So you were compromising quality for time. It took forever to download a song.
See, I got Ethernet about 2 years after we started this.
We had, at the time, I was downloading on like 56K.
What? How long would it take for you to download one song?
Like 30 minutes, 40 minutes.
I remember that. But it was a new hit song, so like I wanted
it'd be on the radio, and I'd, and I would load some up overnight.
Oh, that's right. You could in Napster, you could be like, I'm downloading these four things.
Yeah.
Going to bed.
Yeah.
Keep it going.
Yeah. It's like a crock pot, like
yeah,
a music crock pot.
To go to work.
Uh huh.
Or school.
And then you come and uncover your treasure.
And if you're home randomly, it'd wake me up in the middle of the night. It's like, boodoodeep, boodoodeep. I'm like, yes, I got something.
Yeah. So I'd load up all these songs. And so my brother went halves. He's on the CD burner.
Okay.
And here was the proposition. I go, I'm going to sell CDs at school and you'll get half. Whatever I make, you get half because you went half is on the burner.
Wow. Did he have to help sell?
Nah, he didn't have to do anything. Sweet. It was a really bad...
Sweet gig from him.
Sweet gig for him.
He should get half, but he should pay for the whole burner. You're doing all the work.
Yeah, I was dumb. I don't know. It was a bad deal. I didn't have the best business acumen at that age.
Yeah.
So I would do this thing where I was downloading all the hit music just for myself and then just top 40. And I had a computer printout of all the songs I had. And I would go around. I was known as like a CD burner guy at school. So if you wanted a CD, I go, you can check make a playlist, 17 songs, 15 or 17 songs from this list, and I'll make it for you.
What?
And I charged like...
How much?
If it was a customized... Because I had one with like top 40 or whatever where I could just give it to you and it was $5. But if you wanted to customize, like make your own CD, then that was more money. That was like $7 or $10 if you wanted to choose the songs.
But back in those days, those CDs, those burn CDs,
yeah,
they seemed like, I mean, early on, they're like, that's just as good as a CD.
It is, because you pop it in, same songs.
Yeah.
Why do you care?
And then you don't really have an option to get it yourself anyway. But like 3 or 4 years later, we're like, fuck off, burn CD.
Well, when
you know what I mean? In the first
when,
few
when
years.
Everyone had a CD burner, sure, everyone was like, yeah, fuck off. But like, if you're the only kid on your block
for
who
sure
had like, because I was an early adopter to the CD burner.
Oh, yeah.
So, and no kid in high school had one. And what a great proposition. Because if you're a kid and you're trying to buy a CD, say you want to buy some like Tupac CD, there's 15 songs on there. You spend like $20.
You want three of them? One of them?
Yeah,
probably.
Yeah. And then
that's why those now albums are so big,
right?
Because like we're giving you just hits.
Whereas you're paying $7, and every song on there is a banger that you want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Well worth the money. You're paying a third of what you would pay for a CD where there's only three songs you like.
Wow, good point.
So everyone would hit me up like during lunch, and they would take this. I was just getting playlists from everybody, and I was like a sweatshop. I was just burning all these CDs and just selling them at school.
How long till you made your money back?
Pretty fast.
Yeah.
And then the Marshall Mathers LP came out, and that was such a huge album. I was just selling it for $5.
Just the album?
Just $5.
You would have it ready to go.
Ready to go.
Marshall Mathers album?
It's like a hot cake. Just selling them around the school.
I heard Fahim's got them for $5.
Selling so...
How much were CDs back then? 12, 15?
What, CDRs or albums?
Actual albums.
They were like 15, 16, $18.
Yeah.
Yeah, Circuit City, like you'd have to go and buy a CD.
Best Buy.
People don't know. Kids, it's like you just have your phone beamed into your phone.
Just like,
or your music
right
beamed
now
into your phone.
Spotify, right now.
Whereas back in the day, you wanted a song, you had to walk by some washing machines to get to music.
To get to the CD stores.
Yeah. You had to put on your shoes to get to some music.
Yeah, and then you could listen on tape or album.
Yeah, there was a station. You scanned the barcode. You listened to it a little bit.
Like, yep, I'm going to buy.
Yeah, it was like a library for music.
I remember getting to the point way later when I was in Best Buy checking out, getting like a printer or something, and I remember him like a frat guy. And maybe he was wearing a backwards baseball cap or something, uh-huh, like yours. But he had CDs in his hand. And I remember going to, this was 14, 15 years ago, so way after what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And just going, oh no, dude, you don't have to do that anymore. And he's like, what? I'm like, you don't have to buy those. They're all free. So how did you move from selling Marshall Mathers albums?
So I made so much money off that.
Wow.
But I was making so much money that I was getting frustrated at my brother. Like I was kind of resenting the deal.
But I got
to
give you
because I kept on going to his room and giving him a stack of cash.
Yeah.
And it's eclipsing the $200 that he... And then at one point I was like, yo, this deal's fucked up. Like I go, we got to... do a different thing or this isn't fair. And he's like, you got to buy me out.
Really?
Yeah.
How much did you buy him out for? 200?
I forget how much, but I had to buy him out.
His half of it.
More than that.
More than his half.
I forget. Maybe
that's crazy because
it might have been his half.
You could just spend $400. I'm like, well, I'm just going to get my own right now. Yours
that's
is
a good
mine.
Point. That's a good point.
This one's all mine.
I forgot, but you know, the fact remains I had to buy him out in some capacity.
Fucking Arabs, man.
Yeah. So Napster was huge.
Napster was huge. And then, they got sued.
Yeah, but there was also like AOL. You could download. You can get into these chat rooms and you can actually download music from.
From a person, yes.
From a person.
And message boards and chat rooms.
Yes,
and
like, yes,
I
yes,
have
yes.
A download, one torrent for this one thing. If you want the new, this song, here it
I
is.
I forgot how it worked, but I used to download all this like unreleased Tupac material in this AOL board, or like wow. That was another way to download.
I got really into cover songs. Punk covers of regular songs, like Brown Eyed Girl by Lagwagon or something like that.
Yeah.
It was like, they were just so interesting to me.
Mine was techno remix. There was this huge wave, like when Napster came out, there was a techno remix of everything in the world. There was like Tetris, theme from Tetris, techno remix, Mortal Kombat, techno remix. And that would just, it would fly. People would download those if it had techno remix in parentheses.
What?
For some reason, people love that.
That's great.
I mean, they're terrible songs that don't stand up anymore.
Yeah.
Or ever, but.
Napster got in trouble because they would take the torrent from somebody, put it on their server, and then someone like you or like me, I would upload something.
Mm-hmm.
It would go on their server, and then you would come there, grab it off their server, and then you would have it. They only got sued
because of the server.
They brought the stuff into their own server. That's
yeah,
what they lost.
Isn't it funny? Like it's just splitting hairs,
splitting
but that's
hairs.
What will kill you.
Because like you're having it, so you're distributing it, and so then LiveLeak.
Uh-huh.
Was it LiveLeak?
Or LimeWire?
LimeWire came in and said, okay, it's peer-to-peer.
Yeah.
You're getting it right off from Fahim, this guy, you're getting it off arishafir.647.
Right.
And that's it. We're just matching you guys up.
Right.
And then they're scot-free.
LimeWire, I remember that. But wasn't there like viruses and like weird backdoor stuff with LimeWire?
Mm-hmm.
You would get free music, but then you'd have to reformat your hard drive like every 3 months.
Yeah, the companies... The ASCAP or whatever those companies are, they started putting in bugs to like try to dissuade people from downloading stuff, from torrenting things.
Yeah, LimeWire, I remember that. So that had a good run.
I used to burn those in Natasha's house.
Oh, really?
I remember being in her apartment on her Apple and just like
I had a friend,
shit.
He had DSL. So I would go there, like I would put a hard hat on and just get to work with my downloading.
Wow.
Because it opened up a whole new frontier of things I could download. I could download shows. I could download movies. I was very early to like downloading movies. It wasn't practical or pragmatic at the time I was doing
it. Because
I would have to re-encode it to a format that I could burn onto a CDR.
You couldn't really watch them on your computer that way.
Well, I would have to... recordable DVDs weren't out yet.
Yeah.
So I would get the software where I would download the movie and then I would have to re-encode it to a format that I could put it on to a CDR that would be read by a DVD player, and I'd have to make sure the DVD player could play this particular codec.
Yeah.
And then I'd have to chop up the movie into pieces, so I'd have like 3 discs for a movie.
Oh, that's right. I remember those days where you couldn't have a whole movie on a disc.
Like I downloaded Chris Rock's Down to Earth and I put that on like 3 CDs.
Is that one of his movies?
Yeah, I think so.
Man, his acting career has just been a lot of garbage.
That's the beauty of stand-up, though. Like,
yeah, he just kept going
you
back
get
to
a,
it. Never showed once he could be a good actor. Not once.
The beauty of stand-up is if you're a good stand-up, you're constantly relevant. And people want to see you, and you keep getting shots, and you get to do what you want to do. It's great.
Yeah.
You know? That's what was so dope about, like Mulaney's sitcom, you know, because he was so hot coming off of SNL, and then this is the next Seinfeld, you know, and then it comes out, it doesn't do what they want it to do, and to any other person, it's career suicide,
I'm
and they're
ruined.
Done.
Yeah,
but he's Mulaney. He does a special. It's fucking spectacular. He's back.
Yeah,
or he never went anywhere. But that's just the power
he
you
was
have.
Also just doing stuff with Kroll, and they're already
yeah. The beauty of stand-up is there is no one thing that can kill you. You just you always have a baseline.
Yeah, you can always do stand-up.
You can create, so you're all right.
I remember in 96, 97, maybe even 98, maybe 98, staying up to midnight because CD stores, record stores, would have Monday night / Tuesday morning releases. Tuesday was release day.
There's a piece of history. There's a Tower Records down here on Sunset.
Oh, yeah. I used to go there all the time.
Yeah.
That's where Dane Cook would put his stuff in the front shelf.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
to like make it seem much.
I like hearing those stories. I like when you hear stories about really famous people doing like petty shit,
ground up work.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Doing things you wouldn't. It'd be like Brad Pitt getting a swag bag and like stealing a bunch of Converses or something. Like you wouldn't think he would do that, but everyone's human. And
he told his fans, if you go get my album, take a bunch of copies and put them to the front shelves, you know, like the ones that are at the end of the each aisle, to make it, and then people will buy it more.
You kind of have to create the illusion until you become that thing.
Yeah, I doubt he did it later at the end. But
oh my God, I saw him there last week.
Who wants CDs? Tower Records was huge.
Yeah.
But anyway, CD release day was Tuesday. So Monday night, if it was a big album,
people camping out or
they would stay open until midnight. So they would sell right at midnight.
Wow.
So I remember I had a midnight to 3 a.m. shift. We did 3-hour shifts at the North Hill service desk. So I was working when midnight came, but it was two albums I really wanted. It was the new Beck album. I forget which one it was. And Alanis Morissette. Her probably second album. Yeah. And so I was excited about it. And I worked till 3. I got home, 3:10, something like that. Went to the computer. They were both already uploaded. I burned them while I downloaded the album cover. I burned the stickers onto the fucking burned CD.
Oh, you went professional.
Made a actual cover. So I burned it on the CD. It looked like the CD.
Are you trying
to... the covers, it looked like the CD. And I had both of those by 4 o'clock.
Wow.
An hour after I got home. I couldn't have... The stores were already closed.
Yeah.
Faster than I could actually go get it, I had them.
Yeah, there's different type of people. There's people who would do the whole full presentation like you did.
I wouldn't
did.
Normally, but I was pretty excited about it. My friend had stickers. Stickers you could put on this on the disc.
It's like what people do in China all the time. You got
I'm living like
you're
a
like
Chinese.
You're like, I get it now. This is fun. Could you tell that it was a printed out cover though? It's like,
yeah, you could
it's
tell.
Like 100 DPI and it's all blown out.
Oh, for sure it was. It looks like
like her face is like out of the aspect ratios. She looks like a hamburger.
From far away, it looks like the album. From any side, inside 10 feet, you're like, oh, there's a bird.
Check out the album I just got. No, don't come any closer. Just stay.
It's moving a little bit in my hand.
I wasn't like that. I would burn the CD and I would write in Sharpie and I just cared about...
I mostly did that.
I just cared about what the content.
And then did you listen to them a bunch or did you just like to have them?
No, I would listen to them. Like I'd be driving around or I had a Walkman.
Yeah.
Remember actually having a CD player and anti-skip protection?
Because you're walking.
Remember when that would be a thing? Like the very first CD players, if you weren't completely stationary, it would skip.
Mm-hmm.
And then they came out with anti-skip. Like when you were on the bus listening.
It would hold it in or something so you could flip it over.
Well, I remember I had like one of my very first CD players.
Skip protection.
The lid would pop open. You would put the CD in, close it, and it was pretty thick, this CD player. But I had to like use my arms as shocks on the bus so that it wouldn't skip. So I'd have to just gently accommodate any bump we went over so it wouldn't skip. My arms were springs pretty much. And then they came out with anti-skip protection. And the very first one was like 3 seconds anti-skip.
Oh, right. It would store up a little bit.
Right.
So you press play, it wouldn't play for about 3 seconds.
So that means if you went over like a bump or two, anti-skip would protect you and it wouldn't skip at all. And then it went up to 10 seconds and then it was an arms race for anti-skip protection. There was like, towards the end, it was like 30 seconds or way more than you needed. It's like SPF. You don't need 200.
Are you jogging with this?
Right. But yeah, so I would listen to the CDs I burned.
And you'd listen to the albums?
Yeah. Because how else were you going to... You got to take the CD somewhere.
No, they were great. It was great to have it. It really felt free. And also, it wasn't albums, for me at least, that I was going to buy.
It was like iTunes before iTunes, really.
Yeah.
Where you could craft the playlist you want to.
Spotify, really.
Yeah.
Did I have other bills that I just didn't take out, or was that the only one?
And then I would like copy PlayStation games, too. I got into that.
One or more?
Huh?
How many hundreds did I give you?
One. And it's not me trying to get more. You only give me one. Am I supposed to get 5?
You were copying PlayStation games.
Yeah.
All right,
so I learned how to do that.
Wow. I remember when those started getting made, but it was like, that took a lot of memory.
Did
the CDs have the capabilities right away?
No, they did. I was able to burn it on. Yeah. Like you had 750 megabytes on a CDR and then 800 later.
Wow. Yeah.
So I learned how to... how to burn PlayStation games, and then I also learned how to download them and burn them, so I didn't even need the actual disc. But in order to play them, these burned PlayStation games, you needed to do one of two things. You had to know the swap trick.
What's this?
So it's a way to trick the PlayStation, because there's this booting sequence to verify that it's a legitimate Sony PlayStation game. Mm-hmm. So I just found it on the internet how to do this thing. You have to you open the lid of the PlayStation, and there's a button or when you close the lid, there's this like prong that presses the button so it knows it's closed and it can keep spinning. You have to keep that button down. So I learned how to break a toothpick and just kind of wedge it with the button and the little prong, so it kept the button pressed down. And you can see it spinning while the lid's open. And then it was a timing trick. You would the CD, you would hit power and the startup screen would come up and you'd see the CD like spin slow, fast, and then slow, and then it would go like one of the optical lasers would go, and that's when you pull the CD out, you put your burn CD in, and then that goes fast, slow, and then you pull that out, and then you put the real one, and then I forget I'm just like butchering it, but you have to like trick it, let it read the legit game, and then the burned one, and then it ends on the burned one. And then there's this screen that if it's successful, it goes to this black screen, and that means it's going to load up. And when you would hear that, you'd be like, fuck yeah. It's like you just broke
then
into a bank.
Play all day.
And you could play the game, but you just have the lid open. But who cares?
Yeah, that didn't matter.
So I was doing that for a while.
Yeah.
And I got very good at the swap trick. I was able to do it like so easy. But then I got a mod chip.
What is that?
It's a chip that you buy. I bought mine from some guy in Thailand. I just searched on the internet how to get mod chips, and it was this dude, I forget what his name is, it was like Bangarang or something, and you could buy games from him too. You just put $7 in an envelope and you tell him what game you want, and it took forever because it's going to Thailand. And then you would get this package with a million stamps on it with like Thai generals and stuff. It's just the weirdest stamps you've ever seen in your life. It's been through a lot, this package. And it would have the game.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, so I bought a mod chip, I think, from him. And this chip came in the mail. It's like a computer chip, you know? And then I found a GameStop or some sort of, not a GameStop, but some like onesie twosie place that's kind of underground.
Yeah.
And you're kind of like, hey, do you guys do mod chips? It's like not legal, you know?
And they did?
Yeah, so the guy knew how to solder the mod chip into the PlayStation. So I paid him money to get it modded.
Cash?
Yeah.
And he was doing it at one of those stores?
Yeah, at a video game store.
That's a smart place
to
do
it. So it's not on the up and up, but he modded it. And that means you could play copied games and like Japanese games, out of region stuff. Whoa. So then I didn't have to do the swap trick anymore.
What a crazy time.
Yeah, it was like the Wild West. And I just liked the thrill of it. It was a puzzle to me. It was fun.
To figure out.
It's less about, well, yeah, you don't have any money when you're a kid, but then also it's just kind of fun to know these things exist.
Were you ever going to buy those games or music if not for this?
Probably not. It probably exposed me to a lot more things than I would have had I been paying for this legitimately.
They had a theory that illegal downloads for a little while made record sales go up by 3% increase. And Offspring wanted to test it. They were like, all right, let's make our thing available for download in addition to sale. This is before they would allow even like...
Everyone was staunchly anti-internet anything.
They're like, don't
it was
put
the
it up,
devil.
Just get taken.
Yeah.
So don't even put it into the form for them. And it's like,
they
by the way,
fought this for so long.
So long until they embraced it.
They probably hemorrhaged money from fighting it for so long instead of just rolling with the punches.
Rolling with it. Just be like, just make them 99 cents. Like,
isn't it? I was thinking about what it is today. Like, I have Spotify. It's like $10 a month.
Yeah.
I have every song in the world.
Every song.
No shit, I would do this. You know what I mean? Like,
do
once.
What?
Spotify.
No,
like
exactly.
Anybody with a pulse would do this.
$10 a month, I can get everything. I don't
piracy
have to fucking do it
only
all.
Exists when you have a clunky business model.
Yeah, Uber took off when cabs sucked.
Yeah.
Just like fix it, man.
Because it was a racket. The reason you're making hand over fist is because you were fucking everybody for so long.
Yeah, keep in mind, they wanted to take down the cassette.
Oh, because really?
The cassette, they're like, you're going to be able to copy records if you have a record and cassette tech or cassette to cassette. copy them.
I guess I forget about that. Like cassettes, you were able to make mixtapes and stuff. CDs, it was very late into the technology before you could do that.
Yeah.
You didn't have control over the medium.
Yeah. Tape, you just stopped. Yeah. There's no finishing. You didn't have to finish it.
And you could record off the radio.
Copy over. Exactly.
I never really thought about that.
I would call in requests. Uh-huh. And they're like, and here we go. Oingo Boingo. I'm like, finally.
Yeah.
You missed the first couple chords of each one.
Whereas CDs, it wasn't until very late in the game that the technology came and you were able to do that. And you had to be so savvy.
They fought it so hard. And then everyone knew it. And so Offspring was like, we want to do it. We want to test the theory. Because also we know it's going to make live ticket sales go up the more people hear us. And Sony, who was their label, said, no fucking way. No way you're offering that. They're like, we think it'll make more. Like, you're not trying. Damn, they fought it so hard.
Yeah.
They threw that little girl in jail.
Oh, really? Well, yeah, you'd hear all these stories about like little kid, like the parents don't even know. They go, son downloaded 20 songs. Song,
and that's 30,000 songs. You're like, what?
Yeah, like your daughter owes us $10 million.
Yeah. It wasn't $4 per song. It was like you did it illegally, so we're suing you for like $2,000.
They were just making
per infraction.
Just examples out of people.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember when Pirate Bay came around?
That was like, what, maybe like 10 years ago? Or
maybe. It had a heyday.
That was, torrents was a shift. That was huge, too.
Torrents were humongous.
Yeah. Because you could really find anything, really.
Old speeches.
Uh-huh.
Live concerts.
And they really figured out movies, too. Because the Xvid codec was like one of the first. Like, Xvid was such a huge leap forward when it came to compressing video, not losing a ton of quality while still getting it down to a tiny file size. Xvid codec, and I remember I bought this Panasonic DVD player, and I would look for the codec, like, is it Xvid codec compatible? Can it play Xvid? Because then I would just make a data CD, and I would load up TV shows and movies,
data.
And then it can play the data file like Xvid,
right? Because then you could put like 8, 10, 15. Whatever, however many movies on one disc instead of just one.
Because
movie,
then
one
you
disc.
Could, yeah. Because then they had recordable DVDs now, and now you have like maybe three gigabytes that you're working with that you could burn onto that as a data CD, and you could play the file like playably from a data screen on the DVD player. That was a huge game changer. But yeah, Xvid was huge. Then MK4 came along.
I remember Xvid, or MKV is the one. The codec on the torrents. Like Xvid codec, like, sweet.
Yeah,
they're always quality. I like.
And then
guys.
There would be teams. Like there would be
what?
Like now when you download stuff, there's kind of like they have their tag on there. Like, oh, this was ripped by so
and
so.
And there were certain guys you could
trust.
They're
good.
There were certain guys you could trust. You
yeah, like nowadays, EZTV is one of them.
EZTV, that's right.
And it's like hip hop in New York or whatever. Like, oh, these guys are great.
Never
these
skips.
Guys.
Never skips. Never fucking, you know.
Yeah, a name
malware.
You can trust.
Uh-huh. This guy likes what he puts his name on. He cares about it. He's an artist.
Yeah, totally. It's like Banksy or whatever.
Uh-huh.
Just let me tag my digital file with my moniker.
That's right. EZTV is a new one.
Yeah.
And these guys had their thing. You're right. They were like, were they groups? Were they?
Yeah, there's kind of like ripping groups.
So what was it between like seeds and leeches?
Seeds. So when you pull up a torrent, it has the number of seeders and it has a number of leechers. Seeder. You always look for seeders
first,
because that means how many people have the complete file. You know, so that means you have a lot of options to pull from to finish this file. If you have zero seeders, I don't think the file exists really. You just want to look for a lot of seeders.
But if you had like 5 seeders and 80 leechers.
Yeah, that's okay. I mean,
that's okay. But what you're getting is when those 5 people are offline, you're getting little bits and pieces from the leechers?
The leechers is just how many people are downloading from those seeders, I believe. Or maybe you could also download pieces of it from other leechers who have enough of it filled out.
From them, as they're getting from them?
I don't know the exact specifics of it.
Hold on 1 second. All right. Well,
yeah, seeds. So basically,
oh yeah,
the more seeds, the better.
Right. I remember sometimes you get stuff when it's one seed, no leeches, and you're just like,
you better not log off.
Yeah, but they would, or they shut the computer off, and you're like, motherfucker, and you have to wait, and you're like, hopefully this guy didn't delete the thing.
Yeah,
hopefully he's just logged off.
Well, that must be a pretty obscure thing because if you're trying to get something that's popular, there's usually a ton of cedars.
Oh yeah, if it's popular, if it was like Parks and Rec, they always had the most seeds and
right.
inches.
Yeah.
But like there was this movie we knew about. We were going around. I mean, I guess I can't, it's not like I get in trouble for it, but like,
yeah.
It was a Western. It was called Boss Nigger.
Yeah. There's a movie called that?
Yeah, it was a blaxploitation movie where the sheriff
imagine? What's the pitch for that to the studio? Do you wait till the end of the story before you tell them the title?
Well,
people tune out
right
once
away.
You hear. Yeah, yeah.
Boss.
You go, here's the idea.
Bosses.
It's called.
Yeah.
Right this way. Really? I didn't even get to the.
There was one part in the trailer I remember where O'Neill was telling me about it. We're like, we got to have a screening.
Mm-hmm.
But the boss was about to shoot this guy. He was on the ground. And he's like, what you got to say to me? And he goes, fuck you, boss. And he goes, that's Boss Nigger. And blows him away. It was great. So, yeah. One seed, no leeches.
I can understand why there was one seed for that movie.
It's an old style show, movie.
Yeah.
What's up, Richie? Hold on. What? No, I'm doing my hour.
Oh, here?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to do my hour at 8:30.
Awesome.
You want to open for me?
I'm at the Improv.
What time are you at the Improv?
8 something? I don't know. It's Red Band's show.
Oh, yeah. He asked me to do it. I'll find it open. I should have done this. Think Zagora would, but he's not going to come down here early. Anyway, yeah, some stuff tremendous. And early Game of Thrones was super torrented.
Isn't that one of the most pirated things in the world?
And those guys are smart about it. Those guys are like, yeah, it's great. We're so fucking
do
popular.
It. But I think HBO Go kind of opened things up
to where it's like no longer necessary. Just watch it. For
I think
real.
Piracy back in the day was out of necessity. It was just too cumbersome for somebody to try to access this content and to pay cable. Like, I don't know if everybody wants to pay $170 to catch Game of Thrones.
Network. Yeah.
Yeah. So it just takes a long time for them to adopt these models. And once HBO Go came along and with being nudged by Netflix, like if Netflix didn't come out, I don't know if HBO Go would be a thing.
No, I don't think so.
You couldn't do this a la carte stuff.
Yeah, the thing, you know, Apple TV became a thing, so every network had their own avatar. Mm-hmm. But like the cool thing was, like before, like I wanted to catch up on what's that one with Detective Mackey?
Mackey,
The Shield.
Oh, okay,
and so it was season 4.
What was The Shield on? FX.
FX.
Okay,
but they had leading up to it 1 year, season 3. They showed like every night. They showed one episode from season 1 and season 2. To get you ready. So I caught up right then and then got into season 3. But if not for that...
You'd have no idea?
You would have no idea. You couldn't get into something. With the seeds and with the stuff, you're like, I can go watch the whole series of Fraggle Rock whenever I want because
some
I have
people,
it.
Some people would upload entire seasons.
Entire seasons of stuff. So you could just get a season. Season 4 was in a file of whatever.
Or it'd be like a RAR file and then you just un-RAR it. RAR was like a form of zipping. Well, zipping was like a root. That zipping is kind of cumbersome. RAR.
.rar.
Yeah, .rar was kind of the more sophisticated way of compressing files. So you would have, say you'd have a big movie, there'd be like 30 RAR files. It'd be like R, whatever the name is, .ro1, then .ro2, .ro3, all the way to like 31. And then there'd be a RAR file for it, and you'd double click on the RAR file, and it would just unpack everything.
And then it would be like a gigabyte, which you only had like 12 of those.
And that would be the file you wanted.
Right. And then you'd have to delete that when you're done watching it because you just couldn't store that much.
You would delete all the RARs because you've already unpacked it. You don't need the compressed one anymore.
Or you delete what you've uncompressed because you're like, I'll re-uncompress it when I watch it again.
But nobody wants to wait that long. If you have the space.
That was always the issue. I only have so much space.
But I would always watch it and then just delete it. I don't need this thing.
Because you can get it again.
But there's the time issue, though. It just takes forever.
It does.
I got an external hard drive and I was able to store everything on there.
I remember when I had a girl come over. She's like, want to watch a movie? She's like, yeah, what do you have? It's like, oh, I have everything. It's just going to take 30 minutes.
Yeah.
But everything
I
have. So we can make our popcorn and stuff. And when it's ready, it's ready.
Yo, It'll tell me, babe, what do you want to see? I'm Blockbuster. What movie do you want to see? All right, we're just going to wait 2 hours. So just kill some time.
Do you know of anything we can do to kill time? Go closer. Well, like,
what can we do? Maybe that's your whole game.
Yeah, the best.
Hey, you want to come over and watch a movie? It's going to take 2 hours to download. We got to kill time somehow. I'm too tired to watch a movie.
And the best would be when you come, you're like, and you're like, oh, perfect timing.
Or what if you hear that and that's why you came? It's finished.
Oh, we can finish now.
You go, we're finished. Like you identify with the computer. You're bros.
That's going out there now.
Yeah.
You'll see all this and more in Goatface season one premiere.
Yeah, if you like that impromptu rar jizzing joke, tune into Goatface. It's plenty more of that.
November 27th, Tuesday at 10 p.m.
Yeah.
Wow.
And
really
then
excited.
Also, I have a 1-hour special that's on Amazon Prime. It was on CISO, but no, you know, that was going to go belly up. Right. Everybody knew that. But I'm proud of the special. Like, it allowed me, they put a lot of money into it. It looks good. It's on Amazon Prime now.
Is it really?
It's called There's No Business Like Show Business.
There's no what?
There's No Business Like Show Business.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's just called that. And then I have my own podcast.
Oh, you're so funny on stage. I haven't seen it. CISO came and went. Also, I never even thought of getting it.
Yeah, no one did. I didn't get it.
You didn't get season?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My first year of my Comedy Central show, I saw an episode or something in a hotel room, and I got mad about they didn't bleep a name when I told them to. And they're like, why are you just saying this now? Like, what? Why don't you never comment? I'm like, I don't have cable.
Yeah.
Like, but you're on cable. I'm like, yeah, but...
I don't have it. Yeah, I don't have anything. I don't have Comedy Central.
I had to explain to the people at Comedy Central, like, I'll just steal it.
Like, I have a show on Comedy Central. I don't have Comedy Central.
Yeah.
I just don't have cable. I'm a cord cutter.
But in the torrent days, you're like, it's okay. I'll just, I'll take my own, I'll download my own show.
Yeah.
It's fine.
I mean, I have a copy of the show, so I...
Yeah, you don't
need
to.
Because I worked on it. I've already seen it. I lived it. Yeah. I wrote it.
Dude, I remember when the torrents were getting so good that it was just like, yeah, you just had everything.
Yeah.
There was no reason to have cable. There's no reason to have anything. It's just only now, sports, live sports. That was it.
Like, I have Netflix. I have Amazon Prime.
Mm-hmm. Now,
I have YouTube.
Now.
And a lot of the clips, like all the late night guest stuff, it's always, I'll watch Rogan stuff on YouTube. It's just so easy to watch things.
You can find stuff, too, if you're like, when was Rogan on? Like, in 2000, whatever. So you Google Tonight Show 2006.
Mm-hmm.
You go in there, find out which episodes, and you put Tonight Show S06.E03.
Right.
And you're like, I'll have it.
But anything that's in the zeitgeist is on YouTube pretty much. Like,
UFC fights I could have that night.
Uh-huh.
And that was a lot of files.
SNL sketches are on the next day. You know, couch stuff from late nights are on YouTube the next day.
On YouTube now, right. There's no cause for it now.
Right. Also, sports. I can watch... I mean, I can watch sports on the internet too. Like Reddit will have...
Streams
of sporting events like
Which
football
Justin
games.
TV used to have
I watched a World Series just on a Reddit stream.
FirstRowSports.eu.
I don't know if maybe that website works, but they'll have a ton of links of like they'll just be streaming the game in HD.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's so great.
It's a great time to be alive.
It really is, man.
It's a great time to be on the water.
I remember, did you ever get a letter from your cable provider?
One time, I think I did download Game of Thrones once.
Yeah.
Before I used my brother's HBO Go. I should just buy this shit. Like, I have the money now, you know? I should just buy it. But I was using my brother's, or before I was using my brother's HBO Go, I think I downloaded a Game of Thrones, and then I got like a scary email from...
Time Warner?
Who did I have? Maybe it was AT&T. Uh-huh. Just sort of like... You download and they have the file.
They have the exact one you did.
They have, that kind of scares you because, like, oh, they know specifically what file I downloaded.
You're not guessing.
Yeah.
You've got it.
Yeah, you have the Easy TV on there too. You know what group I got this from. You did your homework.
They got me on Parks and Rec.
Oh, really?
Yeah, twice though. Once and then, like, 2 years later, like, you've downloaded this. We're not going to the police about it, but you need to stop doing that right now.
Right.
Pretty much something like that. Get that thing off there. I can't worry.
What? Oh, this? I didn't know it was even on there. Sorry. Okay. My hoodie string was on the mic, guys, and it was just bugging his OCD.
It might be scratchy. I don't know.
That's true.
Yeah, it wasn't like a spatial problem.
Uh-huh.
Dude, it was so much fun doing these torrents. It really brought my friends closer together.
Yeah, it's like an escape room. Like, it's less about just... watching the content. I'm a puzzle guy. I'm a problem solver. It's kind of...
I got to the point where I just wanted to have these things. It fed into my hoarding. Where I wanted to have them. And if I had an external hard drive...
Dude, that would be a funny sketch. Just like hoarders for hard drives. Just like, look, you don't need season one of Chips.
Yeah.
But I don't want to delete it.
You have Final Draft 9.
What is this folder? Yeah. look how cluttered this hard, like his apartment is immaculate and so clean, but he just has the clunkiest hard drive.
He's got one of those like desktops that you see where it's like the icons are doubled up because you've had so much.
Yeah. There's
back.
No organization. Yeah. It's like, we got to do a complete overhaul on this desktop.
It's just
everywhere. And there's into cameras like, you know, this guy's out of control. I haven't seen a desktop like this before.
You see an avatar of a dead cat. You know, I could drag that to the trash can. No.
How long has this file been here? Well, not that long.
Did you worry at all about, did you have Macs or PCs?
I had a Dell for a long, I had PCs for the longest time.
Is that Dell?
I think so. That's Intel inside.
Intel.
Yeah. I had PCs for the longest time, but then I would always, from all this downloading and stuff, it would just kind of freak out every so often, and I'd have to get the Windows disks and reboot it, and I would lose everything. It would be so frustrating. Oh, I think one time it was my birthday.
Yeah.
And something happened where I had to reformat the hard drive and I lost everything.
Oh no.
And I was so sad, man. It was crazy.
Legit
like,
sad.
Cause that was a big part of my life and fun and things I had on there and music and maybe ideas. And it's like losing someone. I mean, it sounds horrible to say, but
all your notes, your fucking some beginning.
Yeah.
Of
it's like your virtual house burned down.
Yeah.
And I was just so sad on my birthday. My brother was having a field day of like how sad I was. Cause like there's candles on a cake and I'm so depressed. I'm like, gotta fucking reformat the hard drive.
I read something that people will have a certain amount of anger or sadness inside them and it'll come out no matter what your lifestyle is.
Really?
If it's my friend got killed by a drive-by, it's the same level of sadness as my hard drive got reformatted and I lost everything. Like sadness to the kid itself is the same.
Yeah, maybe. But looking back, it is ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
At the time, it just felt very real.
I lost everything.
But as creatives, it sucks, man. Because like so much of what we do are in these files. And
I
lost
a notebook a year ago. And
dude, I don't
get over it.
Anybody can steal anything from my apartment and I'm fine. But if my laptop is gone.
You're fucked.
Dude, that's so precious to me.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is in there. Steal my car. Steal my TV.
The ideas you can't get back. You've written them down and forgotten them.
Yeah.
I got for like notes and stuff. So when you resync, it's like, okay, it's back.
Yeah. I mean, I have Evernote and I have some things that are sync between there and my laptop, but just years of your life have been put into this machine. I guess you should have a hard drive or like back it up in the cloud or something, but
yeah,
I don't know. No one does that.
It does suck though. He's like, oh, I wrote something on there. I don't remember what it was.
Yeah, nothing is worse.
Bit idea.
Especially as creatives where you have a great stand-up idea and then you get sidetracked, you get a phone call or something and it's just gone.
It's just gone.
Yeah, fuck, I'm never going to get that again.
Yeah, you think of it like, that's a good idea. I'm going to go to sleep though. I'll show that tomorrow. And it's like, write it down.
I don't trust myself to do that anymore. I've lost one too many to just like be in bed and go, I'll remember that tomorrow. Nah, get up. Put the voice recorder on.
Just put it on something.
Yeah.
Scratch it into a...
I like Mitch Hedberg's joke where he goes, I'm a comedian. And when I think of a funny idea, I have to get up and get a pen. Or convince myself whatever I thought of wasn't that funny.
Nah, man. Let it go. Just go back to sleep. That wasn't that good.
But I'm all for just... I'll never talk myself out of a bad idea. I just capture everything.
But it's the worst...
And then at a later time, I'll be like, oh, that's a bad idea.
Yeah,
but
later.
At least give yourself the shot to have perspective.
It's the worst, too, when you're like, remember that you had an idea. And you're like, oh, that was really good. Mm-hmm. Oh, what was it? Fuck. I remember it being good.
Yeah. It's sort of like when I hear, did you do that last time I was on too?
It's possible. It's an old trick of mine.
Yeah. People tune in for it. They're like, when's the fart coming? Do you think that they have office pools? Like at what time marker the fart's going to happen?
Maybe. Huh. Guys, at 101:40.
It's like World Cup or like when they do a recap of soccer, like the goal came in at minute 52. And we all reach a fib, you know.
Flatulence
at minute 52.
Man. What was I going to say about torrents now? Did you ever have any moral quandaries about it? Like a lot of people for a while, it started being sent up as like, this is stealing.
I remember when the MPAA, they're doing like, you're taking food away from the boom mic guy, and they really pushed that whole like guilt trip on the movies and stuff. Uh-huh. I never got into that.
Guilt?
Yeah, I never. I didn't think about it that much.
I'm with you. I was like, I'm not. I'm really not if I steal it. It wasn't like I'm going to go watch it or I'm going to download it. I'm just not going to watch it.
The thing is, I don't think it's enough people. Like, the average person doesn't. It's such a small
amount of people.
You make it sound like grandmas are pirating and shit, and they're not.
Yeah.
Think about the mental gymnastics we've had to go through to get these things. The average person doesn't want to do that, or the learning curve to download a RAR file, download WinRAR.
Yeah. By the way, it's there. I'm taking it. I don't know what to tell you. And that guy, that boom mic operator, he's not giving his money back.
Sure, but like...
They have a union, and they don't get paid less because movies make less.
Things start changing, technology, and they're always...
Exactly.
They're always late to the party, and then they'll do scare tactics, try to get you to stop doing the thing instead of adapting to the new model. Look, if you are quick to become Spotify, there's no problem. And people want to pay a reasonable money for a quality product. And then there's no shitty movies for $18.
What do you think is going to happen?
Yeah.
I'm going to keep taking chances?
And, you know, Netflix comes out and, like, movie prices keep on going up and up and up and up. People are going to go to the movies less, you know?
Yeah, you can actually get every movie now. You can pay for it and get it for $7.
Or you can wait and then catch it on iTunes or Amazon and get it for, like, $4 or $5. Mm-hmm. So there's always going to be an equilibrium where you're going to push out piracy.
And people are like, well, that puts popcorn servers out of business. Like, yeah, I don't care. I'm not going for the popcorn.
Right.
I'm going to go at home, buy Orville Redenbacher, and fucking make that.
Yeah, I think... Well,
you can't make me want to do your style.
When these industries hit a certain equilibrium where they kind of adopt the technology, then piracy doesn't make sense. Like, I don't want to download music because it's cumbersome. Spotify is a much better option. I'll pay you money because it makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, it really does. That's why Pandora wasn't quite there, because Pandora is like... If you like...
It was radio, right? You couldn't listen to specific songs.
It would be like, do you like U2? Uh-huh. Okay, well, here's... Every seventh song will be U2.
Here's a bunch of bands trying to be U2.
It would be similar bands to U2. They're around at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
It was really frustrating.
Thumbs up? Thumbs down? I like Spotify a lot, though.
Yeah.
I love it. I wish I did it sooner.
I once tried to go with Pandora to see how long from when I put... Like, it was either my album or Arcade Fire with likes and dislikes until I could reach the other one.
What do you mean?
So, like, play Arcade Fire,
Pick
thumbs down or thumbs up until it would eventually play one of my tracks off Revenge for the Holocaust, my album.
So you tried to get to you from Arcade Fire?
Yeah. Like, play Arcade Fire, press no, don't like, until maybe they'll play some, like, something with, like, a comedic undertone to it.
Whoa. So,
and then for sure, like...
Did you get there?
I did not.
Yeah, that seems like 1 in 10 billion.
But then once, all they have to do is play a comedian doing a song. Maybe like, what's that, Gas?
Oh, maybe like Tenacious D?
Tenacious D.
Boom, that's your gateway
sure
into
like
comedy
that.
Albums.
Then all you got to do is give me one stand-up and it's
boom,
fucking
like
for sure
that.
Like.
And then you're in the game. You're
and
in the
you're
gate.
In the game. Then it's going to find you. Then you start liking dirtier stand-ups.
Yeah. I think you should try it again.
Oh, maybe I should. I should. I mean, set my whole European
like, have
tour.
Have you heard from Ari?
On my whole European
he's
tour.
He's gone down this rabbit hole of unnecessary.
What's up, Danny D? How are you, buddy?
Hey, what's up, man? How are you? Good to see you. That's all good.
No, it's okay. Thanks, buddy.
A lot of guests tonight, you know? It's like a very sitcom timing, too.
Yeah.
We had three people pop in.
What were we just saying?
You trying to get to your album from Arcade Fire.
It was lofty.
Huh?
It was lofty.
It was a very lofty goal.
Yeah. I think it might have been the other way because I thought my first thing was to have a
from
musical.
You to Arcade Fire?
Because a musical comedian would be like, for sure like
ooh,
that.
Ooh, like if Flight
those.
Of the Conchords comes up, then you're boom.
Yeah. Disliking all stand-up until you get a musical one and then like, yes.
Yeah, this guy doesn't like jokes. Maybe he'll like music.
Well, maybe he didn't like jokes at all. I don't know why he started here. Maybe.
Yeah.
God damn, they were fun times, stealing stuff and just... So yeah, I didn't get the idea too that I'm putting somebody out of work. I was like, I just never saw it. But I also shoplifted, so I don't really care.
Yeah, I never got to that. For some reason, I was able to create this moral disconnect between... I didn't equate what I was doing to, even though I guess you could say it was.
Yeah. But it's not, it's like, I'm not taking anything from you guys. That's where I always justified it. You still have all the albums you made.
this may sound like a cop-out and maybe bullshit, but I think maybe there's a shade of truth to this. For some reason, I feel less guilty if artists pirate and listen to other art to be inspired so they can put more art out there. You know what I mean? Like, maybe if you're...
Sure, like
it would kind of, it's a very big reach, but it'd be like if... I don't know, like a painter stole some watercolors and then made this beautiful piece of art or whatever. Like, yeah, he shouldn't have stolen it, but he was able to create this thing with...
That's right. It's worth it.
Yeah.
Also, here's how I am. Like the Edinburgh model of like Fringe Festival model, free Fringe or pay what you want Fringe, where it's like you leave the show and you give me what you want, what you think that was worth.
Mm-hmm.
But if you think it's an A+, and your dad thinks it's an A+, the amount of money you'll each give is going to be different.
Right.
Because your dad is, I assume, has more money. He's gotten his life together.
Right.
So 20 bucks for him is not the end of the world. But when you were in college, you're like, I can give you $1.
Yeah.
I really liked
yeah,
it. I normally give zero, but I'll give you one. With these torrents, it's like, look, I can't afford it.
Uh-huh.
I'm just not going to get it. I can't afford them.
Yeah.
But I still want them. And it's not like if you tell me no and give me no way that I'll just buy them. I'll just not have them.
Uh-huh.
And I remember Rogan... Yes. Going like, no, why would I steal anything? I just get it from Apple. I'm like, for fucking $12 for a CD, every one? He goes, yeah, man, I have so much money. I don't care. I want to support the artist. And it's like, oh, well, if you have enough money, then sure, that makes sense. It's easier getting it on Apple.
Yeah.
On iTunes.
Because then it's
real.
It's semantics. Yeah. And there's no barrier between him and the art.
Yeah.
Whereas when you have financial hardship and maybe you're younger and you're not making as much money, you kind of want to be exposed a little more, but your finances don't allow you to. So
my feelings also are, I know how I feel about it. So one time I saw a torrent for my first album,
mm-hmm.
Revenge for the Holocaust.
You know, my special, when I saw it on torrent,
yeah.
I was over the moon, dude. I tweeted it.
It's so cool, right?
I was like, hey guys, grab my special. Like, how awesome.
Your CISO special.
Because I feel like more people would be able to torrent it than get it on CISO.
Yeah,
like probably. More people know how to torrent than to get CISO.
Probably.
So I was so excited when I saw that somebody ripped it and threw it up there.
To take the time.
To take the time.
Into this echelon of like,
yeah,
Game of Thrones is on there.
It was like the Tonight Show for me. Like, I made it.
I had the same feeling.
My art is worthy of being pirated?
Not
nice.
Somebody's not just having it. Someone's like, I'm going to put this up for people.
What if I was such a hypocrite? I was like, get it down.
Yeah.
Fucking tell them to take it down. I am an artist.
I put out a tweet when I saw mine. I was like, this is ridiculous how these people steal money from these artists. Look at this torrent thread of my album. How dare they? And I just put the link right to it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Check out this link. It's preposterous how simple it is for somebody to download this.
It literally just click
on
it.
And to share it with all their friends with no repercussions.
Except for enjoying comedy.
What time do we live in? This is almost easier than accessing it the traditional way.
yeah, for sure. What was I going to say? Yeah, it's so exciting when your shit is up there. I tell people, because people tell it to me, like, how would you like if somebody torrented your stuff? I'm like,
I
actively tell them to do it.
Yeah.
However you get stuff, that's how you should get it. If you get it by buying it, buy it. If you get it from stealing it, steal it.
Yeah. I used to sell CDs after shows and stuff, and I would say, yeah, share it with whoever you want.
Yeah.
You could buy it, and then, yeah, do whatever
it's
you
yours.
Want with it. I mean, I just want eyeballs more than...
That's the thing, too. People
who am I to say yeah. $20? Like, why would somebody give me that as opposed to, like, a Chris Rock thing, you know?
Also, that's when it really took off, when musicians, like, struggling musicians, were like, I'll put my stuff up there for free.
Yeah.
So I can get notoriety, so everyone can see it. And then they couldn't really fully delete it, because people were like, I'm putting my legal stuff up there for legal downloads. And people are like, oh, yeah, I guess we have to leave that up for that. And people like, you know, that's how people got underground success.
Yeah. It's just about exposure early on.
Yeah. And then it's like, try to take it down. I would never take it down, though. I would always leave them up.
Uh-huh. Like, yeah.
Whatever. You're getting it, though,
put,
right? You're going to watch
up.
It.
Yeah, I wish.
It's not like you took it off Netflix to put it up there.
Mm-hmm.
Still, anyone who has Netflix, that's where you should get it. But if you're a person... If you have Netflix, there's no way you're torrenting something of mine.
Right. Yeah, because it's so much easier.
It's so much
Netflix
easier.
Netflix is like running water.
Yeah.
I think torrents are only...
If you refuse to have Netflix, you're not going to get it for my special.
If what?
If you refuse to get Netflix, you're not going to get it to get my special.
That's a good point.
You're going to steal it.
And it almost makes sense if you say you didn't want to pay for Netflix every month. You would do it for like a trial period just to watch your special
uh-huh.
and then cancel it.
Yeah.
it's still way easier than jumping through all the hoops of torrents.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of sad that it's going away.
Piracy?
Piracy. Do you know Pirate Bay had to change to piratebay.eu, piratebay.io?
Oh, they kept on jumping around. Yeah. It's like in the cartoons when like a ship springs a leak and there's one hole and they plug it and then another one comes and they plug that and then another one. Yeah, they would just keep on changing the domain.
Remember that guy who got arrested in New Zealand who was like a big pirate?
Kim.com.
Kim.com.
They did a whole Vice documentary on him.
What was the story with him?
It was Mega Upload. So he ran Mega Upload, which was like where you could download movies, and it was some sort of like decentralized server type thing. Technically, I think
it was
legal, yeah, because he's a smart guy. And he went through all the hoops and all that, but they still got him.
They raided him, and they went right for his computers. They kicked down the doors. They didn't even get him. They just rushed at his computers and took hard drives.
Yeah, he's a trip, though. Like, it's funny. Watch that documentary.
He's weirdo,
he's
right?
He's just like fat and eccentric.
What did they get him on?
I don't know. Some tech thing. I don't know. Some piracy.
But they wanted him gone because he was like...
Yeah, he'd been a problem for a long time. I think he was just sort of like a tech Lex Luthor for them.
And he was in New Zealand or something?
And he was always like one step ahead of them.
Yeah. Which, by the way, Lex Luthor would be that now.
What? Just
he's
a tech
super
guy?
Super intelligent. Yeah, he'd be a tech villain.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, that's what he was then.
Uh-huh.
But now the technology...
Yeah, why do it
so
in the streets?
Further.
Do it behind a computer.
There was once, I'm sure I've talked about this, but I had to like... do a reinstall from a hard drive, from an external hard drive, and it brought all my songs back into iTunes.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Like, I have some old hard drives. It would kind of be fun. It's almost like a time capsule.
To see what you went into.
Yeah, because the music I listened to back then, sometimes I feel like the songs you like, you get them when you're supposed to in life.
Yeah.
You know, like they speak to you. That's the song that's supposed to get to you at that time in your life. Because I'll listen to a song from 10 years ago. It really does nothing to me now, except for this nostalgia factor.
You remember it.
Yeah, but I remember that time and what it did to me, and
yeah,
I needed that song then.
You can hear that song and be like, oh, yeah.
This is the frame of mind
so
I was in.
It's still good on that level, but now you'd be like, I would never enjoy this.
Yeah,
I
mean, there's some, but there's phases. Like, I was into trance for a while. I don't think I would listen to trance anymore.
Why?
Why?
Yeah.
I don't know. I was into, like,
you suck on
Tiesto. No, and I... Because I despise the
what's
EDM
your pacifier
phase
collection?
That's been going on, like David Guetta and shit. Like, I hated all that, but I was into In Search of Sunrise and like Oakenfold and Above and Beyond and stuff. But I wasn't a club kid or anything. I just liked electronica music like that.
Wow.
And then I never got into dubstep. So this
you
whole
still like electronica, sort of.
It's more.
Electric.
It's. I mean, they have electronica. I guess it's under that umbrella, but it's more. It's classics. You wouldn't call them electronica. Like, I love classics.
What do you call... Yeah, right.
They were at that
what
summit
you,
thing that we
call
did.
Classics?
Did you see them there?
I didn't see them there. I saw them on the list. I was like, oh, fucking classics is here. Were they playing?
They hit me up. They were like, when is Ari going up? We did a stand-up show with this thing called Summit LA, which is like an Illuminati.
It really is.
For you have to pay like $4,500 to...
You weren't there for the whole weekend. I was there for the whole weekend.
I wasn't... I didn't know you could. I didn't know I was invited to that. I just showed up for the show.
It was tremendous. It was interesting.
Did you go to all the events? Like Al Gore was doing a talk on global warming moderated by Jaden Smith.
I went to that.
How was that?
It was ridiculous. This educated man.
If you're Al Gore, are you like, why am I teamed up?
That's exactly.
What is this?
I get why I'm in front of all these fucking winners.
Yeah.
I get why that. I want to adapt my fucking recycle plan or my environment plan to these people who actually might be able to put it in play.
Uh-huh.
People are heads of businesses.
Yeah.
They can help me get going. I don't know why this fucking 20-year-old is talking to me in front of them.
They give Al Gore's resume and they go, and of course, Jaden Smith needs no introduction. You're all familiar with his eco work.
It's seminal 2017 work. Happiness, where he played as son of his father.
And they show a clip. And they go, all right, let's get into the moderating.
Yeah, he would go on these long rants and then have to like, bring Jaden Smith back into it a little bit. It's like
he had to moderate himself.
Jaden, what kind of things do you and your friends say? And they would say,
he goes, the earth's pretty cool, huh, Jaden?
Like if it was a Nickelodeon thing crowd, I could see why Jaden Smith would be there.
Like if it was the Teen Choice Awards.
Yeah, right.
You'd be so like,
Jaden's like, hey, without me, you guys would never listen to Al Gore.
Yeah, if Al Gore was holding a surfboard, it would make sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. If he got slimed, you'd be like, okay, I understand why they're together.
Yeah. Yeah. it was cool though. But anyway, so what did he say? Oh, where it's already
playing. So why did I bring up the summit thing?
Because we were talking about electric music.
Oh, yeah, classics. So they were playing that event, and they were hitting me up. They go, when's Ari going up? When's your set? But they were DJing some other event at the same time.
Oh, that's what it was.
Yeah. But, yeah, whatever that genre of music is, I don't know what you call it, but I'm into that.
Yeah, because I thought everything was EDM, and then my friend was like, no, man, that's a specific. EDM was the umbrella for all of it.
Yeah.
But then that got taken away towards, like, the, you know, Tiesto type people.
Yeah, I would say, like... like funk, disco, like disco funk, or like, I don't know what to call it. House, like tropical house, or.
Yeah.
I have a podcast where I play a lot of the music. I don't know what it's called, but.
Same your podcast?
Fahim Anwar Dance Hour. Really? And I play two songs, one at the beginning and one at the end, just to introduce songs I like for that week.
Yeah.
And then it's just me and my producer. Sometimes I'll have guests on talking in between. So the Dance Hour is just a loose, it's telegraphing more than it really is. It's just talking and stuff. But yeah, I'll play two songs.
Fahim Anwar Dance Hour?
No, I mean, yeah, should I change it? It was a pun that I could have had. No,
Fahim Anwar Dance Hour?
Yeah, Fahim Anwar Dance Hour. So I think I'm like 7 episodes deep, not that many.
That's
but
cool.
Yeah, you got to start somewhere.
By the time this comes out, you'll be 8.
Nice, yeah.
Yeah, so you think pirating's done? You think it's over? Or you think there's going to be a new iteration of it?
I don't think it'll ever go away. It'll be a new iteration. But I think as these industries embrace technology and have seen success with Apple Music and have seen success with Spotify, that it's not the enemy and it's not the boogeyman and that there is money to be made.
Then maybe they'll take on new technologies and go
yeah maybe they'll be a little quicker to embrace it and figure it out.
So hard.
It was just such a new thing and such a paradigm shift because everything was so physical and tactile back in the day. They couldn't fathom getting a song through a telephone wire, you know.
And my thing is, by the way, legally it's like I'm Ari, I bought this offering CD and I want to share it with my friends. I want to let them borrow it.
Right.
They can. It's like, well, can they copy it? It's like, yes, they're my friends. Mm-hmm. It's mine. I get it back. I can absolutely let them copy it. And what if it's people you've never met? It's like, yeah, whatever. I can do with the CD whatever I want.
Yeah. It's this gray area because it's not physical.
Yeah, it's not physical.
Yeah.
I'm just giving them a listen.
What do you do?
I wonder what new... do you think with like 3D mapping technology where they have those 3D printers, it'll be like pirating of like new iPhones or things like that.
Maybe, because people are like 3D printing guns and even just parts, maybe rare parts for cars.
Mm-hmm.
You can get the file, like if somebody has a 3D model of it, you can go into a CNC mill and just have it generated.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder what pirating, what the future of it.
What's it going to be? Yeah, what can be pirated? Maybe, you know, with like 3D, I mean, I'm just speculating here. It's like I'm high or something. Like, what if, you know how you throw in like 3D goggles and stuff?
Yeah.
And say there's an environment, somebody builds this crazy world and you have to pay money to enter this world through like Oculus or whatever.
Yeah.
Like a lot of programmers put a lot of time and effort into this.
They would take that.
And it's all ones and zeros.
People would steal that.
Somebody could steal that environment and just enter it for free in that world. It'd be like going to Disneyland for free.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would definitely be, because they're not going to let that out real easily.
What?
Those environments. They're not going
to. Yeah, they would try to. Yeah. They would try to keep that.
It's crazy. Cause you ever been to China?
Huh?
You ever been to China?
No.
You never did a tour there? They don't have copyright laws like we have.
I mean, that explains a lot.
Yeah, so there's no concept of why this would be problematic.
Yeah.
So they just like have bootlegged things everywhere.
It's almost like remarkable what they're able to mimic and how closely with all they need is one model and they can deconstruct
it. They get Maserati, like we'll build the exact
how
same.
They can reverse engineer. It's crazy.
Yeah, they have those type of cars that are like exactly the same as this other car.
I could be wrong here, but I think somehow they got their hands on like a McDonnell Douglas plane or something like that. And then I forgot how it got into their hands, but somehow, you know, they came out with their own plane that's very similar to the specs of that.
Wow. I mean, yes, they don't have an idea. But it was my idea. It's like, are they stopping you from doing it?
Well, what are you going to do?
No.
Like, those rules exist in America, hey, we're in China. Like, you don't.
Are they hitting you? Like, no. Like, well, then what's the problem? Like, well, my idea, I was the one who started selling ice cream on hot days. Like, yeah.
This is free game.
Else is doing it.
There's another Vice thing. I don't know why I'm watching all these Vice documentaries, but there's a guy who just makes fake Jordans.
Really?
and they're really well done. And it's just really interesting to see his operation and how he does it.
Wow.
And they're so much cheaper, and people don't care who buy them. They go, it looks
shit,
good
right?
enough.
Yeah. At some level, too, it really is like, it doesn't matter. It's good.
Yeah, is the average person on their belly, like with a magnifying glass, looking at the tongue?
Right. And you're like, it looks good. They last.
Uh-huh.
Well, it's the same as one.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, if you're on the...
Why? Because the machine over there made it as opposed to the machine over there?
I think it's got to be a pretty bad shoe if somebody's suspect, you know?
Uh-huh.
It just has to be marginal. You're walking around.
There's no Martin Jordan.
Maybe an actual Jordan head would slip them off your feet and put them on a scale, but
yeah.
The average person doesn't care.
A Joho?
Uh-huh. a Johe? Or like Joho?
Yeah, I wonder what it would go. But no, I never had an issue with it. Yeah, knockoff boots and shit. So the idea of that, of like you've pirated something in China, it doesn't even register. They're like, you didn't do anything to them. Of course you can copy however many times you want.
Yeah, it's free game.
Being the first to something, that's nothing.
I mean, it's pretty funny to say China is the Wild West.
It really
is. It's the Wild East over there.
Yeah. So you're done. I'm done too. It's kind of sad though.
Yeah, that chapter of my life. But I think it's almost just a chapter of your life closing because that's your youth, you know? Like, we're in a different income bracket now and we don't need to do that anymore.
We don't need to do
it. I think it's just very... reflective of high school and college when you barely have a dollar and you're just trying to make the most out of very little.
It seems weird though because I'm still stuck in that in my head a little bit of what I could afford 14 years ago.
That frame of mind, you forget that you're an adult.
Yeah. And so I just had to get like Harry Potter so I could watch with my girlfriend.
Uh-huh.
And it was like, oh, where do I get it from? And it was like, it's probably on iTunes. And you're like,
it is for sure. It's probably on Amazon Prime for free.
And it was on iTunes for... Yeah, it probably wasn't Amazon Prime. I didn't think about it.
You know what I always think is so funny? Like, you can... if you rent a movie, it'll be like $3.99 standard definition and then $4.99 HD. It's a dollar difference. Who's the guy who's like, I'm going to save a dollar? Standard def it is.
By the way,
sorry,
standard
babe.
Definition looks amazing unless you put it up on a screen.
No way.
If you're watching
dude.
On your computer, same shit.
Nah.
If you're watching a computer, same shit.
If maybe it if it's maybe. A 13-inch MacBook or something, sure. But most when you're renting these movies, you're throwing it up on a TV.
17-inch MacBook still, you're like, no difference. Save the dollar.
Yeah, yeah, but come on. Are you legit buying standard?
Dollar.
Are you the guy? Because I'm like, who's...
I looked at my special, my first special. I had the SD version and an HD version.
Well,
stand-up
is different. You're just the guy talking to a microphone. There's no action sequences and everything. No
I mean,
one watches...
You do stand-up.
No.
It's like...
Oh, yeah, you had that one bit where you get into the Maserati. It was like a Jason Statham sequence.
Yeah, right, right.
Yeah, the guy was on the sunroof and then you're like... Yeah, when it's stand and deliver and just like regular stand-up, you don't need the most crystalline quality.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I guess then spend the dollar. But it is weird, though. Now I'm like, yeah, I guess for $5, yeah.
It's nothing.
Not for 30 days. Like when they're like, own it for this? I'm like, no, I'm not going to own it.
Yeah, why would I own? No.
How many times am I going to rent this same movie?
Right.
Where it's going to be worth it for me just to have it in my... Which, by the way, iTunes might not be around in 7 years.
That's true. And if you're going to own something, I'd rather just get the Blu-ray and actually have a physical copy of it. To me, it's very foreign to buy a file.
Yeah.
I'll rent something.
Sense.
Where does it go if you buy a movie? Does it just go in your... I've never bought anything.
Bought. Do you remember when... one of my favorite words.
Was it bought or boughten?
Bought.
All right.
I say boughten too.
Boughten.
It sounds right.
Or is it one of those things that people have fucked up for so long that now it becomes part of the lexicon?
English is an open language.
Yeah.
Make whatever
it's
you
open
want.
Source, man. This is Linux.
It used to be when you were making like plane reservations online, if you did it online, you saved $5 because you didn't have to take up
someone's time.
To make
sometimes
the call.
That happens when I want to pay a bill, and if I call them by phone, they'll do a charge. I'm like, fuck this, I'll do it online.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's annoying.
And now, though, they have like service charges for online. I'm like, wait, no.
Like Ticketmaster?
It still doesn't make sense to me because I was still operating under that time where you save money online. And you're asking for more. There's nothing happening.
Ticketmaster has all these bullshit charges.
Such bullshit charges.
You bought it on a Tuesday, so we're throwing on this extra Tuesday charge.
It's like 40%. The artists get none of it.
Yeah.
The venues get a small portion of it. And Ticketmaster just makes all this money. And by the way, you still got to rent the venue.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like... It's so crazy. And if you're spending $100 for four tickets for a show, you're now spending $140.
Yeah, it's way too much. What's the alternative?
Brown paper tickets. You stay away from Ticketmaster owned rooms.
Are they pretty good? What's their deal?
3%.
3%?
Yeah, comes out of the ticket.
Is there any way to do it outside of brown paper tickets?
Yeah, Louis did it when he did here. Uh-huh. You get four tickets at most. You have to show up and buy them in cash.
Huh.
No scalpers, unless you're going to come down here and get two people and scalp eight tickets, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, at the door, hoping you can actually get. I mean, there's no like online scalping.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing too. Ticketmaster does all this stuff, and then they don't really protect the artists against scalpers. So like. If like Segura is doing a 1,500 seater, 500 of those are just going to scalpers. And now the new price instead of 40 is $250 because the scalpers like it sold out. And so they're taking 40% of the regular ticket price, adding on top of that, and then they're not protecting you against scalpers. So like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You're just a mafia. I hate them. I do everything in my power to not work under that system as much as I can.
Uh-huh.
It is good for scalp tickets though, because you can trust the ticket for like sporting events and shit. You trust is real. But it's a problem.
Maybe that's our piracy, you know?
What?
Just like scalpers and all that shit. And like tickets and Ticketmaster.
Figure out where you're sneaking in my show. Scalpers start going it. Find a way around. Yeah. Well, Fahim, fucking good luck on this special, man.
Thanks, man.
I hope it was really good for you. I hope they split up the shit online. I'll put that on the website.
Yeah, I hope they torrent it and people catch it that way.
Yeah, yeah.
No, tune in Comedy Central if you have it. If not, just find a way to see it. Hopefully they chop the clips up and it's on YouTube, or it will be actually in front of the paywall, so you won't need to pay anything, I think, after the first 2 or 3 weeks.
ComedyCentral.com /goatface?
Maybe. I don't know.
Same real specials up there.
But like so they're... It's going to be, you're going to have a login for the first couple of weeks, but then you'll be able to watch it completely free, like after a couple of weeks.
That's great.
So check it out that way.
Oh, if enough people watch it and talk about it online, like spread the word.
Yeah. I'm just hoping some of the
maybe
clips.
Maybe they'll do another one.
Yeah. That'd be great if they turn it into a series, because it's my dream. I love sketch and I would love to keep on doing it.
Those GoFace things were so funny too. Some of those ones that I remember seeing was like,
back
these
in the
are
day.
Legit funny.
Yeah. And they look good. You know, they're well produced. A lot of thought and time goes into them.
It's weird you have these fans now, too, because these people have been around for forever.
I guess so.
So you have these, like, 16-year-olds who are fans of it. You know,
yeah, sometimes I'll get DMs, and they'll be, like, inspired and stuff like that. But I'm not trying to do that. I'm just selfishly kind of chasing my own dreams and passions. And you just kind of realize just by doing that, you've inspired some kids just because they see somebody like you doing something
that they can also
that we traditionally don't do. And sometimes all you need is that nudge, like, oh, it's possible, because it's not even in your frame of mind until you see someone like you doing it. But I'm not doing stand-up to inspire the kids. It's just like, you know, I'm just doing it because I love it.
Like, and you can get that if you want out of it.
Yeah. But that's life. You just kind of stay true to you and everything else is a byproduct.
Yeah. I imagine like some Zen thing where you see a guy tending to a rose garden in a government lawn area, and you see him doing it, like, look how much care this man takes, you know, and every rose matters to him. And just show the little thing in terms of this whole lawn. You ask him, you're like, oh, it's fucking hot today. I didn't like today at all. It was fucking sweltering and humid. Fuck this. I hate roses, man. Like, you've inspired them. I did my job, I don't get fired.
Yeah, I just got this lesson out of what I interpreted you being. But then you open your mouth and I'm less inspired.
Oh, man, I fucking forced my wife into it yesterday. She didn't want to, but, you know, these laws are lax. You're like, oh, dude, come on. Yeah. Be inspiring.
You're an inspire kill.
All right. Well, thanks, Fahim.
Thanks. So please check out the special, the podcast as well, Fahim and our Dance Hour, and then the 1-hour special I did on CISO that's now on Prime. There's No Business Like Show Business. Thanks for having me, letting me promote that, you know.
Yeah, and all the other torrenters out there, I miss you guys. I'm seeing your seeds up there.
Yeah, all
leeches.
You seeders and leechers out there, keep doing your thing.
Never give up.
Yeah.
You think there's going to be one outlaw, like, torrenter, when it's all free anyway? You just have to, he's like, oh, fuck that, I steal.
Yeah, he's the last person. He's the last guy in the high waters.
The punishments are fucking 2 years in prison for every for every megabyte. You're like, I'm taking the chance. It's so available, though.
Yeah, I'm behind a firewall. They can't find me. I'm using a VPN. Good luck, motherfuckers.
All right, buddy. Thanks.
All right. Peace.
Yes, I am a pirate. 200 years too late. The cannons don't thunder, there's nothing to plunder. I'm an over 40 victim of fate. Arriving too late. Arriving too late.
You will always live happy if you live with heart. That's what I always say. I also say, if we give happiness to others, we will end up happy. I always say those two things. They're definitely not something I just found on the back of a Yogi Jinko Clarity Supports Memory tea that I have here in my hotel room in Reykjavik, Iceland. Ooh, is this tea off? Okay, yeah, I don't have my fucking tea kettle right now. My thermos. But what I do have is a fucking boom boiler thing. That's definitely not what it's called. Ow, ow, ow. Hot water, hot water, hot water. I should put more of this in there. That was the episode, you guys. Did you enjoy it? Please let Fahim know if you did. What's his Twitter address? It'll all be up on the website. Fahim Anwar. Oh, at Fahim Anwar. And Instagram is probably the same thing. Fahim. Were there a lot of Fahims that beat you to the one word? It's never going to find it. Okay, anyway, ladies and gentlemen. Yep, it is. Fahim Anwar on Instagram as well. Ooh, there's a Goldface preview.
I want you to show me some real heat. Come on.
That's a good point. You might be hungry too. Cook him up some. You hungry? You want something to eat? Let me make you some.
Come on.
Let me make you some.
It's a lunch ride. Let's go.
You like spicy?
Yeah, spicy. Are you the man?
Bam.
Oh, damn.
Are those?
The gambling daddy.
Stupid.
Has a reputation for being a notorious gambler, so the gambling debt eights honor all of that. It's got the dice, the 13, the poker chip. Turn it around, boom! It's the commemorative golf club. Now, people say MJ lost over $1 million on a 10-day golf bender in the 90s.
Allegedly.
And when you pull the lever, what happens?
Bam!
Baseball cleats.
We all know why.
It's
Dude, you can't say that for legal reasons.
Yo, these joints are a hole in one.
All right, very good. What? You can get actual Jordan 4s? Ladies and gentlemen, that was the episode. I hope you enjoyed it. And I would encourage you all to continue pirating if you want to. I have no issue with it. But again, I don't even care about real stealing. So, you know what I mean? I'm not the guy to talk to about it, I guess. That's the episode. Don't forget to tune in to Goatface. The special, November 27th at 11 p.m. on Comedy Central. 11 p.m. 8 p.m. if you have, I think, Cox, whatever. But it's 10 p.m. Central Mountain. I don't know, you guys. You know what it is. If it's 11 p.m. Eastern, you know what it is. If you have DVRs, set them. You don't want to miss this. It's going to be great. And get Fahim's special that's right now ahead of the paywall on cc.com. Go in there, then search Fahim. Or go to the website, arithegreat.com, and I'll have a link for it. But yeah, go watch it for free. My special, Paid Regular, is on there. Behind the paywall, if you have cable, then enter your code, and then you can watch it. My Netflix special is out right now, Double Negative. That's it, right? Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, that's it. Oh, again, the dates. I'm going to just go quick, but fucking get tickets. If you have friends in these towns, please do me a favor. Help. Iceland, today. You're going to miss that. Brighton sold out. London sold out. Manchester sold out. Dublin's probably sold out. Brussels, November 26th. Amsterdam, November 27th. Stockholm, November 29th. Ooh, I get to see my friend from where? From East Timor. That'll be cool. Stavanger, Norway, November 30th. Berlin, December 2nd. Copenhagen, December 4th. Got to see my hiking buddy from Myanmar and Austria. That'll be cool. Oslo, December 5th. Zurich, December 9th. Tel Aviv, tickets not up yet. They'll be up, let's just say, this coming week. Storytelling show, Ari Shaffir's Rename Storytelling Show, after Shabbos, December 15th. Ari Shaffir Jew in Jerusalem, December 18th. Oakland, December 30th. Sacramento, January 3rd, 4th, 5th. Denver, January 24th through 27th with Mike Vecchione. That Wise Guys show is pretty much sold out if it's not already. That's a crazy storytelling lineup. San Diego, the Comedy Store, February 15th through the 17th. And the Comedy Store, the main room, doing again Ari Shaffir Jew in LA, February 19th. Phoenix and Tempe, March 7th, 8th, 9th. Tickets on sale. Miami, West Palm, March 14th, 15th, 16th. Tickets on sale. I believe that's it. Yeah. That's it, you guys. Did you enjoy? Let Fahim know. Oh, he's got a billboard over my old place. Goatface. Cool. Ari Shaffir Skeptic Tank. For Fahim Amrit. Wait. This has been Ari Shaffir Skeptic Tank. Episode 342. Is that right? A Pirate's Life for Me. For Fahim Anwar, I'm Ari Shaffir, saying so long till Tuesday when I have Carl Donnelly back on and Ryan Sickler in the intro. Goodbye.
All pirates, yes, they rob I, sold I to the merchant ships. Minutes after they took I from the bottomless pit, but my hand was made strong by the hand of the Almighty. We forward in this generation triumphantly. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever have, redemption songs, redemption songs. Emancipate yourselves from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our minds. Have no fear for atomic energy, 'cause none of them can stop the time. How long shall they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look? Some say it's just a part of it. We've got to fulfill the book. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever have, redemption songs, redemption songs, redemption songs. Emancipate yourselves from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our mind. Oh, have no fear for atomic energy, 'cause none of them can stop at the time. How long shall they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look? Yes, some say it's just a part of it. We've got to fulfill the book. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever have, redemption songs. All I ever had, redemption songs. These songs of freedom, songs of freedom.